Hey, welcome to the Film Podcast. I'm Ricardo.
I'm Jenny.
Hi, I'm Michelle.
I'm Rory.
I'm Kevin.
You sound special, Rory.
I'm Rory.
My bus is here.
Well, there's five of us. I've got to be something, right?
Yeah.
We've got to fill a role.
Today, we're doing our Comic-Con wrap-up. We're going to be talking about all things we saw at Comic-Con. Some cool, some not cool.
Oh, not cool. That's angry. Yeah. Wow.
There's a lot of them.
Well, yeah. We got a little annoyed. There were some things that were kind of annoying.
So Jenny will kind of go, we'll do the schedule of what we saw, and then we'll kind of, Michelle, you'll fill in the blanks to what you saw, because you saw totally different things on Friday.
Some, yeah, I did. I did do different things than them, because they're lame.
Yeah.
And my stuff was awesome.
So Wednesday, we saw The Floor, right? Or some of The Floor. Well, let's talk about The Floor. The Floor at Comic-Con. What cool things did you guys get?
Blue.
what did you guys get?
Did anybody get the freaking Fox poster tube? Because that's like the most popular thing at freaking Comic-Con. Every time I went over there, the line was cut off. Like, you couldn't get it. It annoyed the crap out of me.
Yeah.
I've never gotten a poster tube.
I don't know who gets them.
Either. Why is that so hard? And why are people so obsessed with
and
them?
And you know those people got one last year.
And
like,
let
some new people get some tubes.
Right, they're not.
Do they not have enough? Like,
no,
that's the real thing. Do
they're
they just not
there.
Have enough?
You can see them.
Then
I'm
why
like,
do they
I can
ever
look
cut
at them
off
right
a
there.
Line. That's what
it's
I'm
It's like,
because
they
want
to do it, I guess, at a certain time. Like, they want to make sure people, like, they have them all day as opposed to just giving them away at the first in the morning or whatever. But they don't give them out at a certain time. It isn't like, oh, the top of the hour, come by. Because they don't want people to crowd around then. So instead, you have a bunch of people milling around the booth, going in circles, hoping that the line gets reopened. And it's like a horrible mess.
Well, it's like a tornado of people.
Right.
They're like, we'll just walk around this booth. They're like, you can't stop. So people just shuffle around the booth.
I know.
So it's like you get in the whirlwind of
a fox.
Of people.
I
and
know.
Then you're like, oh, I can't get out.
I think they're just trying to get people to exercise.
That too. That does help. Yeah.
It's Wednesday night. I mean, it's crowded, but it's definitely not
this
as
year
crowded.
Was less crowded.
It wasn't as crowded, and it's definitely the least crowded of the days, but then things aren't open. Like, the Legendary booth wasn't open yet, didn't have their stuff going on. There was a bunch of stuff that wasn't ready yet for preview night, so it was kind of annoying, too.
So what was y'all's favorite part of The Floor? I will throw mine out there as Rocket's ship.
Oh,
Rocket
yeah, that was
Raccoon's
cool.
Ship.
That was pretty sweet.
I liked Rocket Raccoon's ship a lot.
I like the bathrooms. They're really clean this year.
Did anyone see Cap's shield? It didn't. They didn't release it until Saturday or Sunday on The Floor after the panel, which we'll discuss later. But that was apparently they had the broken shield. But we'll discuss that when we discuss the Marvel panel. But I missed it because it was too packed.
You could take like an inch away from your microphone. You could just back off a little bit.
What?
No, I'm telling you, back off a little bit because you're getting a little distortion on this thing.
Oh, okay.
Literally, just take like an inch off of that bad boy.
I think I had a tie between two things on The Floor. One was Monster Hunter 4 Ultimate, mm-hmm. because it's finally coming to the States. I love Monster Hunter. And then the Alien Isolation egg. They had a giant alien egg.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And there was a huge line to play it. And what they did is they opened up one of the sides of the egg and stuck you in there. And they let you play Alien Isolation in the dark. And then there was a TV outside the egg so everybody could watch them play as well as see them in the corner freaking out. And apparently, if you beat it without dying, you won something.
Really?
What?
Yeah, I found that out like Saturday, and at that point, nobody had done it.
Did you end up going in and playing?
No, the line was way too long.
It's too crazy. The lines get so long,
it's
even
like,
inside.
If you want to do anything Comic-Con, you got to wait in a line. So it's just like, you have to ask yourself, is this worth it?
Yeah,
right, because then you're not gonna be able to do anything else. You have to decide what your favorite thing is and go, okay, this is what I'm gonna do.
And so I figured the game's coming out like October, so I would just wait for the game.
They also had it at Nerd HQ.
I didn't know that until you told me, and then by that point I was,
because I played
I
it
no
at Nerd
time.
HQ and I'm terrible at it. I just got stuck in a corner. It was horrible. I don't know how to do video games, so it was really embarrassing. I was just like, can I just leave and get the bag now, thanks. I think my favorite part of The Floor actually is the artist alley. I like walking around and seeing all the art. And I had a fun story because I was wearing a
You're such a kiss ass to all the artists out there. No one was going to say that, and you're like,
she just wants
to, I have to say artist alley.
No, I freaking love it because you get to actually meet the artists. Like, you actually, they're there. You go, hey, dude, I like your shit. And they go, oh, thanks. And you get
I
to talk
feel
to them about
awkward
it.
To say anything to them.
Oh, really? Because if you say you like it, then they're not awkward about it. They appreciate that. But, well, what happened with me is I was just walking by this one booth and I was enjoying this guy's stuff. It was like, cool. I ended up buying some postcards. And he looked at my shirt and goes, hey, is that T-Fury? And I was like, probably like half my shirts are T-Fury. And it turns out he's a T-Fury artist. We get to talking. I own some of the shirts he's designed. And I already had a postcard that he designed. Like, we ended up talking about it. Anyway, he ended up giving me another copy of the postcard I already owned signed, since I didn't have it with me for him to sign, and just giving it to me as free. And it was just because I just happened to be walking by down Artist Alley admiring his stuff. And I like that the artists are right there. And you get to, and they're totally cool, happy to talk to you, love to chat about their stuff. And if you like their stuff, they're like excited to talk to you about it. They're like, oh yeah, thanks. Even if you don't buy anything, like, they're just excited that someone likes it, you know? So I like walking around Artist Alley.
A lot of the booths were okay this year. There's nothing that stuck out. Marvel always has cool stuff, like the Rocket Wrecking Ship. They had, what do they have? Well, of course, the cracked shield, the Captain America shield. They had the Hulkbuster hand, going through concrete. They had a couple other ones. They had Ultron, I think. Or one of the robots, one of the androids.
The Walking Dead booth was cool, too, although I didn't get to actually walk through
it. There's so many people.
I know, it was another one where the line kept getting cut off.
The Legendary booth was really cool. It had a bunch of the props for the new Warcraft movie. And then it also had a little walkthrough of... I took pictures of those, so I'll show them to you.
Good.
It had a little walkthrough of Crimson Peak, which, again, we'll talk about that part later, but... The walkthrough was pretty neat.
It was like a little hallway. But like it incorporated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was on the floor.
But it incorporated video. So they use video as like background.
Oh, you know what I did? I went into Norman Bates' taxidermy workshop and got a little picture real quick. But I was doing it so quickly that I was holding the utensils wrong, and I will not post that picture anywhere because it shows how much of an idiot I am because I can't hold scissors. But
were you holding them like close to your eye?
I was like, where do these go?
She's running with them. You're like, the one thing you're not supposed to do. Why are you running with them?
But that was really cool. They had like a taxidermied animals, and you could get a picture. And Norman Bates held your stuff, and he's like, thanks. I really like your dress. And I was like, you're so Norman Bates.
Aww,
that was cute.
Bless.
I didn't see that guy.
Yeah, he held my stuff for me while I took a picture.
He was in the corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Kind of looked like him.
You better step back.
Yeah, I heard that booth was... I didn't get to go. I got a little frustrated when I was walking around. And the movie and TV booths just get so crowded. It's the other reason I like hanging out at Artist Alley. It's not as shoulder-to-shoulder craziness, which
Sunday
I appreciate.
Sunday wasn't as bad this year, for
it
some
wasn't.
Reason.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Sunday was pretty easy to walk.
Yeah.
Everybody was sleeping after 20,000 people were
seriously
in line.
Frickin'. Oh, did you hear? I don't know if you heard about this, because you're going to be sad. The World of Warcraft director came and visited everyone with a D wristband in the line.
What?
Yeah.
Why D?
I don't know.
Why
he visited
D?
The end of the line.
Because of D silent.
Because he felt sad. Because he felt sorry for the people at the end of the line. Because I think
nice
he thought that they may not get in. So he didn't come visit us. We were Bs, but he did
nice
visit the
him.
Ds.
Why the hell would you tell me that?
I missed Lee Pace, so you missed him. There you go.
Yeah, but I didn't know I missed. I didn't go looking.
You probably wouldn't have actually known who he was.
That's true.
Was
that's true.
You wouldn't.
So. Unless he was like, I'm directing Warcraft, then I wouldn't. Yeah.
Wouldn't know. So let's start with the panels that we saw starting Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Jenny and I got into, and Kevin got into the
Hall H.
And the first one we saw was the Penguins movie, the Madagascar movie.
Oh, you actually saw that one.
Well, we caught the Q&A at the end.
Yeah. Oh, nice. With Benedict.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we got the Q&A and like, what is it, 5 minutes of footage? That was, wasn't totally done.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But
it's kind of funny.
It's kind of funny. I've never seen any of the Madagascar movies.
Yeah.
Is this
the penguins are the best part.
Is this animated or real? Penguins? I'm so confused now.
No, it's
so
real. They just,
movies.
You know, are standing right there.
Well, they do like the ones where they show the actual animals, like the where they just
is actually Benedict and John Malkovich are dressed as penguins.
The best thing was hearing Malkovich, like it was his first year there, and listening to him like deal with like the people asking questions. And like, what animal would you be if you could be any animal? And then hearing his answers in a very Malkovich voice.
Oh my gosh, please. They asked, really
asked him what superhero they would each be, and Malkovich said Lois Lane.
He's like, Lois Lane.
But one of the best parts, I mean, Cumberbatch in his answers was probably the best part.
Oh, hilarious.
When he talked about how...
This was Cumberbatch's first.
Yeah, this is he was Comic-Con a newbie. Too. He was a Comic-Con newbie as well.
But he talked about like on 10 panels. How he learned how to be a wolf, and he actually joined a wolf. He went into Yellowstone for
a couple months,
and he joined a pack, and they accepted him. And then he realized at one point that two of the other wolves were Christian Bale and... Daniel Day-Lewis.
It's so funny.
So, careful with your drink, Michelle. And then they asked him what superhero he would be, and he said that he picked what did he say?
Nurse Normal.
Nurse Normal.
Mm. Which was everyone's wink to Doctor Strange.
I didn't get it. Yeah. I didn't and get it. So I was like, Ricardo, what?
We're going to discuss this, but everyone thought there was going to be a Doctor Strange announcement.
Yeah,
especially we'll because he like hinted at it.
Yeah.
Hello, Benedict.
And he's in town, so it's like, come on.
It's like, come on. Yeah.
But, I didn't know.
Benny is the worst. I'm going to, whatever.
And so we cut that panel. And then what was next, Jenny?
Did we see anything else in that panel?
Nope.
Okay.
I don't remember.
That was their own. That was DreamWorks.
Yes.
That was all of DreamWorks. Yeah. Okay. And then The Giver, I think, was after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Giver is directed by Philip Noyce, who did Clair and Present Danger. He did Patriot Games. Really good British director. And I'm surprised he's actually doing a young adult. I'm always surprised by the directors that go, yeah, I need to pay the mortgage. Well, I need to send my kids to college.
Well, Lois Lowry, I mean, as far as young adult novels go, I mean, Lois Lowry is like a Pulitzer Booker Prize winning. I mean, she's no Stephanie Meyer.
She was hilarious, too. She was so awesome.
And her meat seasoning is delicious.
Right. But she has won. I mean, she's an amazing. My favorite book is a Lois Lowry book. Number of the Stars was one of my favorites as a child. So she's not just, we're not talking Hunger Games, Twilight here. She's like a very skilled writer.
Yeah.
I will probably see this movie. I don't know if I'll see it when it comes out, but I will probably at least wait for the $3 theater.
I have heard nothing. What is like synopsis?
So it's like
dystopian
future. Actually. It's kind of like Brave New World, kind of, you know, like, whoa.
So every kid, when they grow up, after they complete school, they get a job that is given to them by the higher ups.
Okay.
And this one kid it's decided that he's going to be the next giver. And the giver is the person that holds all of the memories for all the past. So it holds all the history. He holds all that. And nobody else can know the history of the world, pretty much.
What?
Except for him.
Or is that the point of the movie?
Because that's the whole point of the movie, yeah. It's like a whole thing where they don't want people to know what happened in the past. And Jeff Bridges is the guy that ends up...
And they take drugs, like Brave New World, where they take drugs to forget.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't really have any memories or emotions.
Or emotions,
really.
Yeah.
Or colors.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Love and
they see black and
things
white.
Like that
they
aren't white, part of that society.
I like...
And they talk like this.
All the
ties
with Brave New World.
Okay. Hello.
I'm interested.
I don't know why they're British, but they're not
until they
British.
Reveal why they're not telling anybody. Yeah. Don't be like,
and
dumb.
It turns out... You got to talk to me, Mike. And
I was talking to Kevin, though. Not to the podcast.
Yeah, we were having our own sign.
And then it turns out Jeff Bridges was going to make this movie 20 years ago. He bought the rights to it 20 years ago.
No shit.
And he was going to make it with his father as the giver, the old man that has all the knowledge. And apparently there is a video that he filmed, like a rough thing with Bud Cort doing the narration of the book. His father is the giver, and
I forgot who he said his.
I think his
brother?
Nephew, his nephew or something,
oh,
his nephew
oh.
or something.
Okay,
and but he's gonna try to find it and put it on the DVD.
Yeah,
so. Oh,
cool.
Yeah,
fancy.
But yeah, he spent 20 years trying to develop this book, and now it's been so long that he is the giver instead of his father. So,
oh yeah, he's gonna do it.
Yeah. And he originally was gonna direct it, Jeff Bridges, but at this point, you know. But
after
that was really
that,
fun. She was funny.
Yeah, it was good. I liked that
one. Well, and the coolest part is they talked about Meryl and how her part in the book is really small, but she just turned it into they made it bigger, and she turned this part into something grander than was actually in the book.
Yeah.
And Lois even said that she feels that the part in the movie played by Meryl is better than what she wrote in the book.
They actually I was going to say the Ashley Aster. They actually asked her, what would you change from your book now with all these years? And she's like, well, it's hard to tell. But she's like, one of the things is I would write the part that Meryl plays to be a little bit bigger because she did it such a good job. And then so The Giver was The Giver part of Paramount's thing?
No, that was separate. Paramount was after.
Okay. Yeah. So next we saw the Paramount Pictures presentation in Hall H. And they had, what did they open up with?
I'm trying to remember.
I think
it was Turtles, wasn't it?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. And they started off with a little like documentary. And
which everyone out there, go, if you get a chance to see it, go check out Turtle Power. It's really cool.
Yeah. How long is it? It's long, isn't it?
Oh, it's like an hour and 40 minutes.
I'm thinking of the Freddy documentary.
Is it on anything or Netflix?
It's not available in the U.S. until August.
But if you're in Canada.
If you're in Canada, you can watch it on Netflix. You can stream it on Netflix. Yeah.
So.
Can we just like set an option on Netflix saying, I'm in Canada?
Maybe. If you're smart enough.
You can do things.
Let's not talk about that.
Yeah. There is a way to do it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you're smart enough, you can do it.
What are they going
to
do?
But I mean,
they're already watching
me
with my Kinect on my Xbox. Yeah. I'm fine.
There are ways, sir. There are ways.
I'll be honest. I wasn't looking forward to that movie at all. Like, just had zero interest in that movie. Like, I was on the bandwagon of like, F this movie. We don't need another Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. We're done. But then just seeing some of the footage, I do want to see it just for Michelangelo alone. He's very inappropriate and he's very funny.
I will probably end up seeing it.
I'm still not looking forward to this movie.
Are you angry? And you love turtles, don't you? You love them?
Man, I hate
you
their
didn't
heads.
See this.
I don't care. I've seen trailers.
What is your
Megan
hate?
Fox he is still hates, in the movie.
He just hates how they look. He hates I how do. The turtles
That's basically
look.
It.
But
That's
I mean, they're it. The whole damn movie, so I better like how they look. Yeah, and the parts where I'm not looking at them, I had to listen to Megan Fox. Oh, God. No,
the best part is
no,
when they get the turtles get sexual towards
April.
No. Yeah, because you know that's...
I mean, they're kind of doing that
in
the cartoon
really?
Already.
Yeah.
Dantel already kind of
so
has a thing in the cartoon.
When they first see April O'Neil, they're like, oh, it's a girl, a human girl. And then Michelangelo goes, oh, my shell's getting tighter.
I do not remember.
Okay, gross.
I do not remember Donatello being
it's in the
that
it's newer...
much of a nerd.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
They're definitely
he was the nerdiest.
They're definitely playing up that with like they're turning him into the gadget guy.
Yeah.
And in the cartoon he wasn't quite like that. They're really just ramping it up to like
making everyone
they're going
have
to
their
11.
Own part.
Yeah.
Mikey's definitely the comedian.
Michael Bay, man.
He has nothing to do with it.
What are you talking
about? He put his
about?
Name on it.
I don't care. His name's on it, and I see it everywhere.
No, it's. I mean, it's really the director.
You
the director
watch that trailer.
Like...
Tell me he didn't do anything with it.
Yeah.
Are
I mean,
you
I think
serious?
Originally maybe he had something to do with it, but I
it's
think where it is now, it's because of the writing. And
are
director.
You saying that Steven Spielberg has had everything to do with Transformers because his name's on it?
Sure. Yeah. Let's just jump there.
And you have no idea how Hollywood works.
What? Okay. Guys, calm down. All right. So let's move on.
So
from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles looked please. Okay. I'm willing to go see like a matinee.
Yeah. A $7.
Besides that, I did hate how they looked. But once I saw this footage was going, I'm like, they're doing cool stuff. Cool stunts. And I don't mind it. Whatever.
I can't remember what else was in Paramount except for the last thing.
Wasn't Paramount, didn't the guy who came out right after the director said, oh, my cousin is the guy who's directed Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and now I'm here. I used to be his assistant a couple years ago. And he was there with the movie.
Was that
the found footage movie.
Yeah, the found footage
movie. Which one was it called?
The time travel one.
Yes.
Not damn. Important. It didn't look good.
Project Almanac.
Yep.
Yes.
Which was originally titled something else. It was like... Tomorrow something it was called like Tomorrow People or something like
doesn't
that.
Matter.
It looks really dumb.
It's really forgettable and looks awful.
Yeah.
It's like time travel found footage.
Yeah.
Movie.
Oh, and I remember the next thing that happens. Hercules. Oh,
that was pretty cool.
The Rock came out. Fucking
The Rock is awesome.
Robert Downey Jr. style.
Yeah. He came out like The Rock style. Yeah. Like The Rock from WWE style.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Like old school The Rock.
It was awesome.
He came out from the crowd and he was like high-fiving people, bro-hugging them.
He talked about his fanny pack.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah.
That's good stuff.
And
I love him so
awesome.
So much.
The thing
he's
is
so
that the, he was there the day before his movie came out.
Yeah.
And he's like, I don't have any footage. I don't have nothing. He's like, all I'm here to say is that I think the movie's great. And I want to give you guys, some of you guys, the opportunity to see it for free. He's like, I've bought 3 theaters out here in San Diego. So he's like, when you're done, I'll tweet it out tonight. And it's at 8 p.m. And then you just go to the theater and it's first come, first serve. But basically, he bought out 3 theaters for people to see it for free.
Yeah.
We didn't go.
We didn't go. We're
too busy. Well, we had to wait in line.
Yeah.
That's more important.
Yeah. So, but I heard there was a couple screenings. There was a screening of that, Project Almanac, and a couple other movies.
There was a couple other screenings. There was, which one did I get invited to? I can't even remember. I didn't go, obviously. But yeah, there was a number of screenings of things that like, hey, come to see this.
But they were all first come, first serve. Yeah. So you knew that if you didn't get there like way in advance, you weren't going
to
get
there. There was going to be a line and you probably had something else you needed to go to
anyway. Was that worth waiting in line for? No.
Right.
Yeah.
That was what it came down to.
So then
there was a Sharknado screening. That's right. I forgot. Oh,
okay. We should have gone to that.
Yeah. So then after that, what was next?
The final one.
That was the final one.
No. The big guy. I was going to let you say it.
The final one.
Should we set the scene?
Yeah.
First?
So first of all, they hadn't really announced what was there for the Paramount panel, and all of a sudden, this moderator comes out who isn't bad. This moderator.
Wait, before that, 20 guys dressed in black suits enter.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of this panel, come in and just come into the theater.
And usually the men in black is which I call them. They're all wearing suits. And they only come out when there's special footage going to be shown because they have the night vision goggles and they kind of kick people out who are filming the footage. And they just got swarmed by it. And we noticed that they were in the back and they were talking. And so all of a sudden they spread out all over the floor. And, you know, they're like, oh, okay, we have one last movie for the Paramount thing, for the Paramount panel. And he's like, we have a guy to come out and introduce, you know, some stuff. And Matthew McConaughey rolled out. Very Matthew McConaughey.
First Comic-Con as well.
Yeah, first Comic-Con for him.
All right. Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
Of course he did.
Recorded it. It was so awesome.
Oh, good. You got it on tape. Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. Did you post that somewhere? You should post that somewhere on the Twitters.
I'll post it on here.
He'll post it next month sometime.
Yeah. I know, right? Yeah. He's terrible at posting things. God, got to do it right away.
And then he comes out and he's talking about the movie. And he did something really cool because everybody that does a panel up there, there's chairs and there's the microphones that are at chair level so you could sit and talk. Well, he decided to just take the mic off the thing and just talk to it, and it's what I call Jackie Chan
style,
because Jackie Chan had a panel like 2 years ago. He didn't sit, and then the people in his movie came out, and since he wasn't sitting, they just stood there awkwardly.
Like, I guess we're standing.
And so no one had a mic, so no one really could talk because only Jackie Chan had a mic. So anyway, he stood up and he did it really cool because he would walk around. He would answer a question, but he would be like if he was at a convention of some kind, and he would just walk around and ponder his
talking
his
about Jackie Chan.
No, we're talking about Matthew McConaughey. Okay. And then he walked around, talked about being cast in the movie and how his agent had told him, oh, Christopher Nolan wants to see you for a movie. And then he flew out to L.A. He was filming True Detective.
Went to his house, Christopher Nolan's house, had dinner.
Hung out for three hours.
Didn't talk about the movie at all.
Yeah.
And then was like, I don't know why this guy wanted to have dinner with me. I guess that's it. I'm going to go home now.
And then a couple days later, the script arrived and said, hey, do you want this part? And he read the script and he's like, yeah. And
so then they showed the footage.
Well, did they show the footage or
I thought they showed the footage first.
So then they're like, well, he's like, well, I have footage. It's a new trailer that's coming out later. It's not coming out anytime soon. And they play the trailer, and it was amazing. I loved it.
By the way, we're talking about Interstellar.
Yeah. No, we haven't
Jesus
said the movie yet.
Sorry.
Like, let me paint you a picture.
I thought
it's a warm day.
I know you thought we were talking about the new season of True Detective because we just kept mentioning McConaughey, but no.
He's not going to be in that, I don't think.
No.
Interstellar.
Yeah.
So
they showed the footage.
They showed the footage.
Which looked amazing.
Looked really good. I feel like we've seen something for it before, but it was just short.
We saw the abridged version of that trailer.
Okay.
Yeah, you find out.
We saw a teaser,
you
basically.
Now know why he's driving in a car crying.
Yes.
Yeah.
You
yes.
now know why.
Mm-hmm. And they actually... spoiler alert. If you don't want to know anything about this movie, not that we know anything more, but we're describing what was on the trailer. So you'll see this in advertisement. But if you are a type of people who are like, I don't want to hear anything about it, then just forward like 2 minutes into this.
Two minutes?
I don't think it's
a minute. So you see the footage and you see him in another planet.
Uh-huh.
You see them traveling and you see them landing in another planet and getting off. And you saw a lot of the stuff in the spaceship.
So the premise is that they don't use ships or flying anymore.
They've stopped exploring the world. They've just decided to maintain and just grow food and try to maintain.
Try to survive.
Try to survive.
And finally they decide that they're going to do another mission.
Basically, to save the world, they have to explore other, because the planet is dying.
Well, and good they have thing to, they stopped.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now Matthew McConaughey is the one that has to.
They have to do like one last great exploration.
And it looked like Anne Hathaway was with him in the
I'm okay to go
thing.
Yeah.
There were a lot of cameos in the trailer.
Casey Affleck.
Topher Grace.
Topher Grace.
Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. Who I forgot, I totally forgot was in it until I saw her in the thing.
I think she's in everything. I think it's a legal requirement that she has to be in everything.
It is,
Like, that's a law.
Right.
And the only one who I didn't see was Matt Damon.
Right, we didn't see Matt Damon. But yeah, so the trailer looked really good. Hope that comes out soon.
And then Chris Nolan
is that supposed to come out?
October.
Okay. Yeah. Just so you know, we're still on Thursday, guys.
Yeah.
I know. And so then after that, Christopher Nolan came out, and that was lovely.
He talked very little. I always feel like he's kind of like, I don't want to reveal too much about a movie, and I don't really want to talk about it. So
this was his first Comic-Con as well.
It wasn't really
every Batman movie. This is
he just doesn't. He's not keen on doing these kind of things.
Yeah.
Well, the way he posted in the Q&A is he's always had something else that he's doing at that time because he says he wanted to come, but he's always had something else in the way, and he could never get there for other.
But he did like he you could tell like it wasn't some people you could tell like don't want to be there, but he was actually kind of excited like. Like, they turned on the lights for him so he could see how far it went. And, and he was like, oh, this is pretty interesting. He's like, I've heard people tell me about this experience, but he's like, it doesn't disappoint.
Okay. Right. So, anyways, that was Thursday.
That was Thursday. Then we slept out. We slept out for Friday. Friday was a bust for me. Didn't you guys feel that way?
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Start off the day with some cool stuff, but not really. They always have, since last year, they started the thing called the Show of Shows. And they show interesting short animation stuff, some stuff from famous people, some stuff from up-and-comers, film students stuff. Mm-hmm. And there was like two cool short films, but besides that, I dozed through most of that thing.
Oh, like even the good ones, it's like I could watch that in the comfort of my home later.
On YouTube.
Yeah. Like they're all on YouTube. I don't need to see
films. But you're giving them exposure, which is nice.
Yeah, because most of the people in there wouldn't do that.
Okay,
well, you're there for the Game of Thrones. Calm down.
So
I just feel like it was a little bit too long.
Here's the thing.
It should be an hour panel. It should not be more than an hour.
Oh, really? Was it more than an hour?
Yes.
Jeez.
Yeah,
okay.
It was so long.
Here's the thing.
So long.
If anything, it should be an hour.
Here's the thing about...
I wasn't there, so I can't say anything.
But the shows, last year they had great short films. Remember the roller coaster one that was really good, Jenny?
The amusement park. Right?
Yeah, the amusement park.
I put that on our Facebook page.
And that one was really great. But this year, there was like one good one and all kind of weak
ones.
Yeah,
I only liked like two.
Yeah.
Like
well, I mean, there were some good ones, but they were really slow.
Yeah, they were slow. They weren't... So the next, we had a secret thing.
Yeah,
that the secret thing was that thing.
Yeah, it was just labeled as sneak peek.
That's right.
Yeah, so they hadn't announced what it was. It just said sneak peek, and they're like, we have something to show you, but
how
we don't know what.
How pissed would I have been if it was Star Wars because I didn't wait out? Yeah. How upset would I have been?
They wouldn't
if
have done
been,
it that
No,
early,
they wouldn't
right?
have done it. They couldn't. I mean, whatever. So, but I'm so glad it wasn't.
So they came out, and they said, okay, our new panel, it's something that we hid from you guys. And they start showing a preview. And the preview was The Last of Us video game trailer. So we're like, okay. My first thought was like, oh, a sequel, part two.
Yeah.
But this is a weird haul to
do
announce
video
this
games,
at.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, it was really cinematic, so I get it. And it had a lot of followers. So I'm like, all right, maybe that's what it is. It was just such a big game that they want to unveil it here. But then at the end of the trailer, and it was an extended trailer. It said soon to be a major motion picture, and that's when everyone went, "Oh!" And I forgot his name, Duckman. I forget his first name, Neil Duckman.
Yeah.
He came out, the creator and writer of the game. He came out and he said, he basically said, "Yeah, we've been greenlit. We have a studio now that's actually like locked down, and he said he said the reason he agreed to do it. He said we're gonna give them all these conditions so they'll say no and we don't have to do it. You know, don't bother with it, because every video game movie that's been adapted to film has sucked. Would you agree? So
yeah.
So he said we don't want that to happen to us. And he said, so let's make it really hard for them to green light it. So he said, I want to keep total control of the film. And he said, yes. I want final cut of the film. Yes. I want to write it myself. Yes. I want to have a say on who directs it. Yes. So when all of the yeses came back, he agreed to do it. And Ghost Pictures got behind it, and I think Screen Gems,
yeah.
And Ghost Picture is because they got a big producer to behind it, which is Sam Raimi. And then he came out and talked for a little bit,
being
weirdo-ish, like he always is.
He's
so
weird. He's an interesting choice to direct this.
No, he's not.
He's just producing.
He's just producing. Yeah. Oh, okay. As I say, that's a really weird choice for director.
Yeah, he's helping them fine-tune the script.
Yeah.
Okay.
And stuff like that, but he's really just producing. He said he's not going to direct it.
Yeah, and then
they haven't found a director yet.
Yeah, and then the last thing he talked about in that panel was that there is officially Evil Dead TV series in the works, and Bruce Campbell is definitely in it. So,
and well, the one thing that we didn't mention that they brought up is that they had a meeting with an actress for who they want to play Ellie, and both parties are very much interested, but nothing's been signed, and they want to get Maisie Williams to play Ellie, which would be amazing.
And they said basically she was going to go to the presentation, but it just, like, the contracts, the ink wasn't sealed on those.
For those of you that don't know her name yet, you'll know her character, Arya Stark, on Game of Thrones, and you should remember her name from now on because she's going to do some big stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. For really sure. Great actress.
Yeah.
But like, they haven't even. This movie's way down the pipeline, though.
It's like 2016.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
She might get too old for this part, wouldn't she?
No,
don't think she's gonna age out.
She's actually maybe a year too young now.
Oh, okay. So when they start filming,
she'll be perfect.
Yeah.
So that was.
I don't know. She's like 16.
Yeah, she's 16 already.
Yeah, but she has a young look to her.
Yeah. And they'll be filming it next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's supposed to be playing 12 on Game of Thrones right now.
Dude, okay. I found out the other day that Jojen from Game of Thrones.
Yes.
Is the same age as Oberyn.
Yes.
I could not.
Jojen just looks really, really young.
Who's Jojen?
The guy with Bran.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The guy.
Jojen is the same age as who?
As Oberyn.
Oh, the Red Viper?
The Red Viper.
Wait, how really? Old is Oberyn? I thought he was way older.
No, like, actor age? They're both 25.
Really? No. Oberyn's only 25?
I thought he was like in his
30s. Wow, I feel really dirty for having lots of hot crushes on him.
Like, is that not crazy? Oh, maybe it's not Oberyn. Maybe it's the mountain.
Maybe
it's the mountain. I'm sorry.
Your storytelling is terrible.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Your storytelling is terrible.
No, it's even crazier.
Don't hit the table.
Because of the mountain.
It still makes sense.
That is pretty crazy, though.
Yeah, it's still.
He's like, Jojen's the size of the mountain's arm.
Yeah, I know. He's
well,
tiny.
Well, Sansa and Arya are the same age.
Right.
As well.
Yeah, yeah. And
you wouldn't imagine that either.
Yeah, she just looks older than Maisie.
Yeah.
And fun fact for any Doctor Who fans out there, Jojen was in an episode of Doctor Who with David Tennant, as was Viserys in the same episode. They were in high school together. So there you go.
So
just so you know.
What was
fun
the next,
fact.
What was the next panel?
Cool.
I think that was it.
And then it was Walking Dead, which nothing really new.
Oh yeah, well they did show the new stuff,
right? But it's not much.
They get out of the train car.
Yeah. Well, and we know now that are people okay with spoilers that we get from Comic-Con? Can we say that?
Well, it was on the ad for AMC.
It's on the trailer, so if you're not comfortable, I mean, okay.
Forward
but Beth is alive.
Yeah,
you see at the end that Beth is alive.
Yeah,
that's like the kind of the, and that they do eventually get out of the trailer.
Yeah.
But I think we all knew that they were going to get out of the trailer.
Yeah.
So that we do know.
And it was a cool. They're always fun because they actually love to be there and stuff.
Yeah, they're a fun.
They really love their fans.
My favorite actor person, just because he's so funny, he's always doing crazy things, is Norman Reedus.
Norman Reedus, like, gotta love him.
So wasted.
What's his name?
Oh, definitely.
What's his name? Chris Hardwick was taking a selfie, and he flipped him off. And then Carl came out. The kid who plays Carl came out.
The big thing of pudding.
Pudding.
Aww.
And then while people were asking him questions, he would film his answers, which is like really creepy.
They did announce that Seth Gilliam from The Wire and also Starship Troopers is going to be on the new season. Yeah. So that's the only new cast member they announced.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if you guys have read the comic, but you might be able to guess who he's playing.
And that was fun, but all he showed was the new preview for the.
They
new
didn't
season.
Show any.
I feel
additional
like
footage.
Walking Dead.
Oh, they did show. They did show. Really they did show behind the scenes of them, like.
Rick.
Like,
how he prepares. Yeah. How he prepares.
Revving up for a scene.
And he like basically just tears shit apart and yells. It'll probably
awesome.
Should be online or on the DVD. Oh, and they did reveal that apparently in the comic book, the last line of the season.
Yes.
He says they don't know. In the real comic book, he says they don't know who they fuck with.
Right.
And in the show, they changed it a little bit for censorship. But he says the DVDs will be uncensored. So.
Oh, okay. Because, I mean, a lot of people were like, whoa, that was a weird line for Rick to say. And I was like, no, well, that's a direct like reference to the comic book. So it was kind of important. A lot of people were like, whoa, that was weird. But it was a direct reference to the comic book. Yeah. So it was kind of an homage, if you will, to the source material there.
And then after that was Game of Thrones panel, which really didn't show us anything, any footage because
they haven't started filming yet. That's why they never have it at the Game of Thrones panel.
I love Game of Thrones, but man, that was like it was cool to see them, and I really like those actors. But man, once again, not worth waiting in line for
because they don't give you any new information.
We did get swag though.
Yeah,
they gave us a bunch of swag:
a shirt, a little backpack thing.
They announced the new cast for the new season. Right. Yeah. The one that's the big one is Jonathan Pryce is going to play High Sparrow.
Well, and the big thing from all the people that they did announce is that they're basically all the people from Dorne. So I have a feeling, which is if you haven't read the books, that's Oberyn's hometown and where he's from. So that means that and they recast Marcella. How do you pronounce her name? I always said Marcella, but I don't think that might be right.
Tommen's sister.
Tommen, the youngest of the Baratheon children, she's basically the hostage.
They sent her away. Right?
They sent her away for protection, but
that was like season two, right?
Yeah.
So who cares? They recast her.
They recast her, but
we forgot what she looks like.
But exactly. But the fact that they recast her shows that she's going to be playing a very large part in the upcoming season. So it seems like this upcoming season is going to take place a lot in Dorne. And we're going to see that storyline. In Dorne, the interesting thing is that...
You don't need to know what the interesting thing is.
Well,
don't spoil.
I mean, it's just that the females can get the throne.
Okay.
Which is important in the books because in Westeros, the females can't get the throne or Cersei would be next in line. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like there's not... Yeah. So the fact that in Dorne, they believe females should get the throne, which is going to drive a lot of the action in Dorne because they want Marcella to take over because she's engaged to the Prince of Dorne. Mm-hmm. So there's that's a big thing in the upcoming season, I think, is what's going to end up happening. We're going to see a lot of Marcella, a lot of Dorne.
So for the Game of Thrones, all they did was show outtakes, like bloopers.
Which were great.
Yeah, which were really funny.
And you can see it online. It is. I watched it on the YouTubes. So it is available. It is out there in the universe.
And then the next panel was the...
Horns and Everly.
Yeah, it was a Radius...
Ooh, with Daniel Radcliffe.
Radius Time Warner Cable Production Company, which they're now doing like a video on demand at the same time as a theatrical release. That's because they've partnered up with Time Warner. And so when Horn comes out, you'll be able to see that... The same day it comes out in theaters, you'll be able to see that stream it at your home.
Interesting.
Yeah, which is a cool concept. I know the first guy who did it was Steven Soderbergh with Bubble.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
But he did it in a cool way where you could actually even buy the DVD the same day, but it was at a higher price. So it was like you could buy the DVD for $40, but you could own it. And then as the time went by, the price lowered, you know. So it was a cool concept.
Tend to do.
Yeah.
Right.
No, but I'm saying so when the real like DVD release would happen, it was already at $15.99. So it was a cool concept.
What did you guys think of Horns? How did I'm curious because I didn't get to see the trailer.
I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I'm too.
It looks
it's gonna be
funny.
R, right?
It has to be.
It has to be.
It looks funny.
I like Daniel Radcliffe. Wait, was this the one where they sang Happy Birthday to him? Because I saw this. Did you guys sing Happy Birthday to Daniel? Aww.
No, I was trying to nap. Yeah. It woke me up.
So Horns.
He's Harry Potter. You gotta love him.
Yeah. Horns is directed by Alexander Aja, who did like High Tension.
Hills Have Eyes, Piranha Mirrors, 3D. Yeah.
It looks pretty interesting, for sure.
Yeah, the humor aspect I think should be fun.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed Daniel Radcliffe's post-Harry Potter career, so I'm excited to see it.
It seems like they're riding that fine line of realism. Like, everybody in the town's treating him like he's a normal person.
Yeah.
But yet, he has these giant horns forming on his head.
It's like weird, like, absurdist humor mixed with... I do dig it. It's very...
I'm really interested to know more about how people are, like, really honest in front of him for some reason. Like, that's what it seemed like in the trailer. People just are, like, really open with him. That, like, in that bar scene, everyone came out and said exactly what
some
they were
secrets,
feeling.
Yeah.
Well, because there's got to be something there.
Yeah. I think it's all, there's something there, but also people just start being awful people whenever he's around.
And the author of the novel was there, too. I don't know his name, but he was there.
Joe Hill.
And the next movie on that panel,
Everly. But I went to the bathroom, so I have no idea what happened.
Good thing. I applaud you for going to the bathroom.
Yeah.
It was a Salma Hayek production, and she stars in it, and it seems like it's like a combination of like Shoot 'Em Up mixed with like Lucy mixed with like a lot of things, but it didn't look interesting to me. I'm sorry.
No, it didn't at all.
I don't even want to talk about it. I can move on.
I feel like the person who wrote it was like, oh, you know, it'd be really hot, a chick shooting a bunch of guns in her underwear. Yeah. I'm gonna write that.
Yeah.
And, like, Salma Hayek is a weird choice for that.
I agree. I feel like I'd be a little more interested, but she wasn't selling it for me.
No.
At all.
No. She wasn't very interesting. And so that led us to, what was next? The 20th Century Fox?
The 20th Century Fox. And that started with The Maze Runner.
The Maze Runner, which actually looks pretty cool.
And it does look interesting.
That kid spoiled the one part of the movie.
Yeah.
That was so great.
Wait, that was Maze Runner?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Maze Runner.
Oh.
The lead spoiled another character's
death.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that was.
And it was just like, whoops. And
I was getting
Michelle,
that one mixed up Michelle, with the
giver. So the lead, the young, our lead, whatever our age is, he's like 16, 17 years old.
I don't know anything
young
about
dude.
Maze Runner.
You've seen him in something else. He's like famous for something else, but I can't remember what.
Okay.
Yeah. Top of my head.
And they asked him, what was the most emotional scene to film? And he said, well, blah, blah, blah's death. And then the moderator went, spoiler alert. And then he's like, well, it's in the book. Like, I just thought, like, I could say.
Oh, Dylan O'Brien, he's from Teen Wolf. Yeah. I don't watch Teen Wolf.
Yeah. He's like, I thought, and then from that point on, it got really awkward because he was really self-conscious.
It killed the energy.
Yeah.
Oh, poor kid.
And at the, like, he couldn't answer any more questions. Like, he was just out.
Oh, Jojen's in it, too.
That movie stars also the kid from the comedy with Jennifer Aniston. We're the Millers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. He's British.
Will Poulter.
Yeah.
He's really funny, too.
He's really good, yeah. And he dealt with the crowd really, really well. Like, someone at one point flipped him off, and, like, he dealt with it really well.
Yeah.
He was quick.
He was cool. The director of that, I don't know who was the director of that.
The director is Wes Ball.
Okay. But it looked cool. It looked interesting.
It's an
interesting concept.
I know nothing of this book.
Yeah, me either.
I don't either.
But it looked interesting. Out of all the young adult movies that I saw at Comic-Con, the panels, this was the one that looked the most interesting.
I'd agree.
Like,
yeah.
The Giver was okay, but this was action-y. I tend to lean more towards, like, the
Hunger
Games
stuff. It almost had a Lord of the Flies feel to it, where it was going to be, like, kids against kids.
Yeah, I think that's what... I don't know much about it, but I think that's kind of the concept there.
Cool. That's a good idea, that. I think. And then after that, the second one... Guillermo del Toro came out for Book of Life.
The highlight of Friday.
Really, that was the only highlight of Friday.
Exactly.
Wait, at this point, is Kevin already outside in line?
No, I think Kevin saw this.
No, he's outside.
No, I left
before 20th Century.
Yeah, I left in the middle of like Everly's Q&A.
So we saw on Twitter, we discovered that people were tweeting about the line forming already at 3 p.m.,
For Hall H,
the next day.
I texted Ricardo to tell him, like, because I was outside doing other stuff, and I texted him to tell him that. Because there's a few, if you do go to Comic-Con, there are a few Twitter handles you should follow. At Hall H Line is one of them. And if you just follow
that,
well, there's a hashtag and there's a Twitter handle. So there's both. And there's certain ones you should follow. And if you follow it, you can see. And people were starting to form for Saturday at 3 p.m. So we had them panicking inside. Poor guys.
So, but good thing that Kevin left. He took one for the team. He left, but he didn't miss anything.
No,
really. Well, except Bismarcky. But we'll get to it right now.
Spoilers.
So Kevin left, and then they came out with
Book of Life. Looks really interesting.
Book of
it's
Life.
Like
Life
a great. It's a Day of the Dead type animation, and yeah. So the visuals of it, the colors. Everything looks amazing, and it's a great cast. It's
Diego Luna's a lead, Channing Tatum,
and
but it's animated.
Yes,
it's
animated.
So I don't get to look at Channing Tatum.
No,
ugh,
the girl from Star Trek and Guardians of the Galaxy, Zoe Saldana.
Yeah.
Christine Applegate.
Oh yeah.
Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
Is a Guillermo
it
del
looks
Toro.
Like one of those
Tracy Morgan.
Great
Tracy
great
Morgan.
Child
yeah.
movies.
No, like, not Tracy Morgan, I'm sorry.
No, Tracy Box, Morgan's in Box Trolls.
Oh yeah.
It looks like it's gonna be one of those great children yeah. movies yeah. that yeah. are gonna be just as awesome for the adults. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, Danny Trejo's in it.
Yeah. And it
so
cool
there's a lot of Mexican culture in it.
Folklore and culture. Yeah. And also he talked about how they wanted to do a lot of like pop music. Redone like trio style like mariachi kind of yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they recorded the songs and then they went out to the artist and everyone said yeah, so they had like Radiohead, Bismarcky,
mm-hmm.
a bunch of like big stars
big names.
Yeah.
So the music is gonna be great.
Yeah, and one of the songs was what was the song called? The Bismarcky song. Sorry, I'm asking.
You got what I need.
You got what I need, but redone by you know one of the actors in the movie. And then, surprisingly enough, Bismarcky shows up and starts singing
with the crowd.
And he had
and
everybody
And dancing
going.
With Channing Tatum yeah. and Ron Perlman. Yeah. I got that on video.
That's the only thing that that really was good from...
Yep.
I guess Kingsman looks good to me.
Yeah.
But I didn't need to see the
panel.
We
were, at that point, it had reached a boiling point of us needing to leave that room.
And
we were freaking out.
We realized that... We weren't going to see Fantastic Four stuff.
Yeah.
So.
No, didn't we watch the Hitman trailer?
Yep.
Oh, yeah,
and
we did.
And we skipped over it for a reason.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was mediocre. Sorry.
Another video game movie that just needs
it's
to gonna
be
go
bad.
Away.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
going to be horrible.
Yeah. Another, right. And this is why it was so important that the Last of Us guy
yeah,
have
the
all
writer
this creative
is,
control.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because once it goes out to studio, they really don't know how to control the property. Like, what was so... They don't understand what was so good about the game. They just kind of try to sell it a different way, and that's when it kind of fails.
I am going to throw out there before we go to Saturday that Guillermo del Toro may be one of my favorite people to see a Q&A with.
Oh, yeah, and he's great. He loves Comic-Con.
Yeah.
He has
he
a great time.
Fans.
He really does. That,
he like,
that's
wants
nice
to listen
about
to
him.
What they say. He'll like answer anything. He is always has this wonderful smile and like. Happy
just
like
so jolly
he yeah, would be so really happy jolly. Just doing panels all
yeah.
day long
yeah.
I think he would
so
freaking
much.
Love
and,
it
yeah.
and he loves to read the disclaimer that's in back
oh,
of the
yeah.
name tags and says some people in the audience may be under the age of 16 and he's all and then he always says
because
it's who the fuck cares
it asks them not
yeah.
to cuss
yeah.
it asks them not to yeah. cuss and
first
then
he always
anyway.
Cusses in Spanish and then he flips it in
yeah.
English
so are we done with you guys this
done.
Friday
done.
So you wanted me to just share a little bit about my Friday
sure.
I went a different way so these guys did the inside. I decided to go outside on Friday and I actually didn't even step a foot into the convention hall at all because there's a lot of stuff if you ever go down to Comic-Con a lot of stuff that goes on outside. I got in line real early, got tickets to the Walking Dead barbecue. They offered 200 tickets to go have a barbecue at Terminus, which if you're a Walking Dead fan, you know what that means. The other white meat, if you will. Really cool. I got into that. They had a party. You had free food, which is always great, free drinks. And it was all decorated just like Terminus. They had the barbecue set up. They had the Never Again sign, the candles. They had the RV set up. And even you could do a putt-putt off the RV, which I apparently am terrible at golf. So that was something I learned. They even had rat races where they had fake dead rats inside cages tied to skateboards. And you could race them against each other. I won a couple, lost a couple. In the end, I'm going to say it's a tie. And that might possibly end up on the AMC website because there was a guy filming me. So we'll see how that goes. But the food was good. They had sausages. They had like a lady dressed up as, what was the Terminus lady? Mary? I can't remember her name. But she was dressed up like the lady in Terminus cutting up what was clearly a human hand. Lots of blood everywhere. And then the cast did come out, stood on top of the on the RV, talked for a bit, and signed things for people, and they were super appreciative. And that's the thing I love about the Walking Dead cast. They love their fans. They love coming to Comic-Con. Norman Reedus was filming us while we were filming him, because he just freaking, I think he just loves the fact that there's all these fans out there. So that was a lot of fun. For those of you who don't go get, you know, you don't get tickets to Comic-Con, if you want to go down, there's so much stuff going on outside.
But sometimes they do. I noticed that they do look for your badge.
Sometimes. Certain things, yeah. They require badges. Sometimes they don't. So you have to make sure.
There was one night you could go without a badge.
So there's different things.
Like, zipline, you didn't need a badge.
You didn't need a badge for the zipline. They had that's what we did Thursday morning. We did the Gotham zipline. You got a free t-shirt, a free
Gotham badge.
Gotham sheriff's badge. You got a picture of your zipline.
Sheriff. It's a detective badge, Michelle.
I'm sorry. Okay, well, whatever. And another thing I went that doesn't require a badge is on Friday I went at lunchtime. I did the Orphan Black fan meetup, which is organized through Tumblr. And again, you just went in. There's free food. You could eat as much as you wanted. And drinks. They had drinks. They had all this kind of stuff going on. And then the cast came out. They did contests. And the people who won the contest got to meet the cast. The cast came out, said hi to everyone. You know, talked a bit. And it's a cool way. If you can't go into the convention, it's a cool way to see the cast, see what's going on.
Even if you can't go in it, it just shows you how the Comic-Con isn't one Comic-Con for everybody. It's different things for everybody.
Right.
So, like, Rory, last year, he did video game stuff. He didn't even, like, he only did Saturday, and that's what kind of got you hooked on Hall H.
Yeah, I came back this year to do more of the stuff I normally don't do.
Yeah, your thing is usually video games.
Yeah, I play video games in every location they have there. But this year, I only did it for one day.
And there's people who go and they do the comic book panels, where you meet all the writers and stuff like that. You do the smaller rooms, which you got to go to.
I've done the small rooms before, which is a lot of fun.
Penny Dreadful.
I did Penny Dreadful, which actually wasn't a small room. That was in Ballroom 20. But I did do Penny Dreadful.
It's a small room compared to Hall H.
In the fact that it seats 4,000 instead of 6. We didn't talk about the Penny Dreadful panel. I did that Thursday night. Again, they didn't have any new footage. They haven't started filming yet. But they did. The writer, creator of it was very eloquent. And he had
John Logan.
Yeah, John Logan. Awesome guy. The cast that was available was like the three prettiest boys from the cast. It was Dr. Frankenstein. Dorian Gray, who is literally the prettiest man on earth, like just Jesus. I don't know what he does.
I think he
might be Dorian Gray in real life. Like, there is a picture aging somewhere. And Josh Hartnett came out, and they just talked about why they did the show. And one of the things that I liked about Josh Logan is what he said was, because someone asked, like, you're not exactly doing the true sticking to the actual stories. And he said that was important to him, that he loves the source material. The importance was to respect the source material. But to maybe turn away from it a little bit and to show that they're respecting the source material, but they're telling their own story, which I really respected. So that was a cool panel. You do the smaller rooms. You get a lot closer to the people. You get a lot more opportunity to ask questions. If you're into that, I know people that, like, the people in line with me for Orphan Black, basically all they were going to do all con was anything Orphan Black. They weren't interested in anything else. They were part of the Clone Club. That was what they were here to do. They were not going to do any other panels.
They were their party.
They were, right. Well, they were there to clone dance party, if you will, clone clubbers, right? Am I right? But that's all they do. They were going to go to the autograph signings. They're going to go to the panel. They're going to go to the meetup. And they were only going to do Orphan Black things, the Orphan Black at Nerd HQ. But there's a lot of stuff outside. Nerd HQ I went to. I don't think you need a con badge to get into Nerd HQ. Now, I could be wrong about that.
I think you're wrong about that.
You should check. But nobody checked my badge. Nobody asked to see it. I mean, I guess it was around my neck.
It's around
my
neck.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, you guys, if you just go down there.
Don't take our word for it.
What else did you do on Friday?
So on Friday, I did the Walking Dead barbecue. I did the Orphan Black meetup. I hung around Nerd HQ for a while. Nerd HQ was awesome.
Other panels on
Friday? I didn't do any. I didn't step a foot into con on Friday. Like, I didn't even go into the convention center at all. Like, I did everything outside. I also I did the Hunger Games outside, where they had it set up. That was a cool thing. They had PETA's Bakery. I had a delicious apple and goat cheese tart. I didn't wait in the t-shirt line because it was like a 45-minute long wait to get a t-shirt, and I was like, I'm good.
But you saw that trailer thing, right?
I saw the Mockingjay trailer. Yeah. which
and
I
they
believe
gave you, like popcorn and
they did. It was a whole thing. Like they went, you went upstairs and like in the front they had popcorn set up and rock candy. And as you went in to go into the trailer, like please have some popcorn and rock candy. I'm telling you, I ate well on Friday. I had like three different meals.
Jenny didn't eat anything.
And Jenny didn't eat at all.
She almost passed
so
out.
I went, but the cool thing about the Hunger Games trailer is they brought us into this all white room and there was the white soldiers with their guns and you know they told us you can. They took away. Oh, we weren't allowed to bring any cameras or our backpacks in. We actually had to coat check everything.
There were stormtroopers there?
Yeah, basically. The Pan Am stormtrooper looking guys. I don't remember what they're called. And then they it wasn't like a film screening. We each had our own pod that we sat in and we were handed a tablet and earphones and we could each watch it on our own.
That's weird.
It was very strange, but it was very clean white room with these weird white pods that you were sitting in, and I got free popcorn. I'm telling you, I ate a lot. I ate all free food on Friday.
Hey, shout out to Subway. Gave us free footlongs. What?
Yeah, Subway
all
did.
Friday?
Could not believe
it. That was Thursday.
That was Thursday. That was another
thing. Don't
care.
Ate it.
Free footlong sandwiches thanks to Community and Subway and Yahoo.
I ate one and then... I got another one and I gave it to Rory. I didn't need it.
So I had two Subway sandwiches.
Foot-long Subway sandwiches.
Foot-long Subway sandwiches.
And they gave me free drinks. They did, by the time you guys got there, they stopped giving out free drinks. But they gave me a free drink as well.
And then you met up with us in line.
I met up Friday night with you guys.
Jenny almost passed out because she had no food. She had no walking.
I ate all the food. She was so cranky. Jenny was really.
I wasn't cranky. I didn't say anything.
She just didn't say anything.
That's the silent treatment.
Well, silent treatment is different from cranky. Yeah.
That's a different
but
form of cranky.
We should all, okay, now this is the point where Kevin had been sitting in line since 3.
Sunburned.
He got in line at 3 o'clock, and he was number, we were like number like around 1,500 in line. Yeah. So there were like 1,500 people in front of us by 3 o'clock. It was ridiculous.
Well, no, there was only like a couple hundred in front of us by 3, but everyone had people that were coming to meet them.
Everybody was doing what Kevin was doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can't be mad at them because we were doing the same thing.
Also, Kevin did a smart thing as he would shift every so often so he would get like a nice even tan.
Yes. He
got more of a sear than a burn, right?
Oh yeah, no, I haven't been burned. I'm just very dark.
It was kind of like a kebab.
Yeah.
I get it.
So then by the time like our panel got out of Fox, it was like 6:30.
Poor Kevin had been sitting out there by himself for 3 hours.
Jenny hadn't eaten any like real food, just snacks. She was a little cranky.
I wasn't cranky. I just didn't say anything. Now I'm cranky. This is me cranky.
No, she was just really like you look like you were exhausted, and you look like you were dehydrated. Those are two things. And so we got some pizzas. We waited out. My mistake, drinking in line. Next time, might not drink that much in line.
And by drinking, he means liquor.
Alcohol.
Yes.
See, in the morning, I felt like shit. Like, I had to take
a... He freaking woke me up.
To you.
Ricardo, drunk Ricardo, wakes me up. I'm finally, like, settled into my sleeping bag. And it's like... And drunk Ricardo wakes me up. And I'm like, what do you need? He's like, nothing. Like, he literally woke me up just to wake me up. Just to be, like, a dick.
True.
And I couldn't fight. I couldn't figure. I was like, where's my bag? What's happening? Because I was, like, in a deep... wonderful deep sleep. It was horrible.
This is the night that we could have had the longest spoon.
We
became friends with people in front of us, people in back
did
of
we
us.
Find out how many people were in that line by the next day?
No.
It was over a mile long though.
The line was about it was like a mile long.
It went to the island behind the bay
and then past
the and past that. Seaport
into,
village
into the island of Dr. Moreau.
I did talk to some girls the next day that got in line at 2:30 and they got D wristbands, and then I found 2:30 a.m. and they ended up with the D wristbands, and I heard that the last person who got in line that got in was around between like 4 or 4:30 a.m. somewhere around there. So I don't know how legit that is in information, but so the last person to get into the 6,500 seat Hall H was around, got in line around 4:30
a.m.
In the morning. And the girls who were in the D wristband group that got in line at 2:30 said they were in the park on the island, but they actually got woken up around 4 a.m. because the sprinklers were about to go on. So they got moved. Thank God that they moved them. I mean, like, at least they didn't just let the sprinklers go on them, but they got moved. But they were like, we were on grass and it was nice and comfortable. And then they got moved to the cement pavements.
But being wet, though.
I guess so, yeah. Unless well, thank God they that. Moved them. Unless I was like, why didn't you just turn the sprinklers off during Comic-Con, guys? How about we just do that?
Oh, those lampposts. Good Lord.
Well, that's why I'm smart. I brought an eye mask and earplugs, guys. I'm prepared.
Hey, I slept.
I brought whiskey. So did Kevin.
Yep. I slept for 45 minutes, got a nice buzz, and I felt great.
I yelled at people. I was getting loopy.
I slept for a solid 4.5 hours.
That night, Friday night. I slept for a solid 20-30 minutes.
Yeah, like it was like 5 hours. Or so.
I definitely
so
got
enough about us sleeping.
Yeah.
Right. Let's talk about Saturday.
We're trying to build the experience. Yeah.
Right.
This is the experience of going to Comic-Con. Yeah,
this is going to fall into place once we start talking about the energy in Hall H.
My gosh. Because it was awful.
So it starts off the day. They let us into Hall H, and we start off the day with the Warner Brothers panel. And the first movie up was probably what won Comic-Con, wouldn't you say?
What?
No. Jupiter Ascending did not win Comic-Con. Oh, that was the first movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No.
The first one was the Versus movie.
Yeah, no, the first one was Versus.
Yeah.
What's Versus?
They started off with Superman, Batman.
That was the very first movie.
And also did not win Comic-Con.
No, it did not win either.
So, they did say that it did actually take up more Twitter retweets and tweets than anything else at Comic-Con.
Oh, geez. So maybe it did win Comic-Con. That's sad.
Because everybody's phone was still on.
So, okay.
Because we're all complaining that they didn't talk.
So, Chris Hardwick comes out, and automatically we get some energy in the room. Chris Hardwick comes out dressed as Marty
McFly. Because
Chris
Hardwick was genetically molded to moderate at Hall H. Like, that is his job. That is what he is made to do.
So then he comes out. He starts the panel, and Zack Snyder comes out. And he Jackie Chans it, no sitting down, just standing up. And he says, so we've been filming, we don't have too much stuff, blah, blah, all the bullshit that, you know, everybody says, and then they have footage. Well, he had footage. It was all like video game stuff, looked like video game stuff.
Yeah.
It's basically Batman. And you can kind of tell it's Ben Affleck's mouth, kind of, I guess.
Yeah.
And it's his animated mouth.
Yeah. He takes this tarp over off the Batwing.
Bat signal?
Yeah, bat signal, yes. Sorry. See, I was already loopy. The bat signal goes off, and it lights the skies. And then we see Superman with his, what I call Teen Wolf red eyes, very angrily going, I want a keg. No.
He didn't say anything.
He didn't say that.
Good reference.
He
So, I don't wanna watch it now.
His red eyes are like blinking, and then they cut. That's it, and it's raining.
That was it.
It was raining, and they were very angry at each other.
It was dark.
Yeah.
And then they brought out the cast for a second.
They introduced Ben Affleck.
Yeah, brought out those actors.
And Henry Cavill.
And Superman.
And,
I don't know.
And Gal Gadot.
And they waved at us.
And they waved. And I'm like, yes, Ben Affleck's going to finally speak and go, hey, I know you guys were doubting me, but I promise you, like, it's going to be great.
This is nothing. Not Daredevil.
Yeah. And he didn't talk at all. He just waved.
Took a picture. And then they went off stage.
And
then
they left. It was so stupid. Why would you fly these guys all the way to Comic-Con to not even talk?
You just burned 3 first-class tickets to bring to the city.
Are you kidding me? It was ridiculous. It was so stupid.
They should have just raffled off those first-class tickets.
Yeah.
We're going to send somebody home first class. courtesy of Warner Brothers. But then they did
the screen opening though.
Yeah, and they did show Gal Gadot in Wonder Woman's costume, big reveal.
And she looks a lot like Xena. Yeah,
she looks like a scrawny Xena. Yeah. She doesn't look like Wonder Woman.
No, she doesn't. You're like
she needs to build up some muscle. That's what she needs to do.
Yeah,
that's water. That's my water.
There's something in your water, just so you know. Don't drink it. And then the next movie was Jupiter Ascending.
Jupiter Ascending.
I'm
looking forward to this. I did dig the last one.
The Wachowskis.
The last one. Yeah.
The one with Tom Hanks and Halle Berry.
Yeah, I can't think of the name of it, but it was great.
Cloud Atlas.
Cloud Atlas.
That one I dug.
Wait, that's like, oh, just the same directors?
Same directors.
Oh,
okay.
How is this? I was like, this is a sequel to that?
Yeah.
they did The Matrix and they did Jupiter Ascending.
So same director. Okay, yeah,
same,
I'm on page
Same
now.
Directors.
Got it.
And I dig their stuff, so it's sci-fi.
I really just, Channing Tatum's not doing it. Or Mila Kunis. Hey. I like Mila Kunis, if that's how you say her name.
Yeah.
She just doesn't seem to fit in this movie either, though.
Yeah, it's a weird choice, yeah. they couldn't have gotten fucking Joseph Gordon-Levitt. He wasn't available, you know?
To play the female lead.
Shannon Tatum. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Now that is a movie I'd watch.
Yeah. Okay, I would totally I could definitely see the chemistry release that one.
Yeah. So anyway, the next movie we saw was
Mad Max, baby.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Like, and we all think that one Comic Con, right?
And yeah. Like, I'm not even a super big fan of the series.
Oh, we're a fan, right, Kevin?
Like, I mean, I've definitely seen two and three like a couple times, and Thunderdome, like everybody quotes it. But yeah, man, I was like really into this movie.
Yeah, and so they showed what you see on YouTube now. What Warner Brothers released is like maybe a quarter of what they showed.
Yeah.
Because the footage went on forever, and it was like nonstop
action. But they showed
action.
A good chunk on YouTube. I mean, like some good parts of it.
Yeah. So basically, it starts off, and Mad Max is just hanging out, looking into like the vast desert.
Steps on a lizard.
Steps on a double-headed lizard.
Didn't like that
one. Oh, yeah.
Bit.
Why did he do that?
I literally
that?
Go,
and then it turns into like a giant chase movie in the desert. It's like
what he described
the director George Miller as a Western on wheels, and it delivers. Like,
yeah,
there's some cool action. I think Charlize Theron is going to steal this movie. She looks badass with her metal arm.
Well, she's super talented.
And yeah, did you notice an unrecognizable Nicholas Holt?
Yeah,
painted
all painted with the crazy mouth.
Yeah. Acting crazy.
That was awesome. That's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So it's not technically a reboot. It's kind of a prequel of some sorts. It's hard to tell. But it's not a sequel, and it's not really a reboot. But we'll see when it comes out. It looks great.
It felt like it was like, didn't he mention that it was like something in the same universe?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was just like another story.
Another story within the same universe was kind of what they
like
made it
a
sound
different
like.
Day for Mad Max.
Just yeah. Like, it's almost like a comic book. Another writer comes in and and tells another story of that comic book character.
His,
right.
His version of it.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it looked badass.
God, it looks so good.
The effects look great.
Dude, that tornado, the dust tornado thing.
Yeah.
Like, I think my mouth was open the whole time.
Yeah.
It looked beautiful.
You know the first scene where they crash his car and it tumbles?
Yeah.
I literally read the extended interviews that he did backstage of how he's like, we really did everything practical, and then we just added all the CGI is landscape CGI. It's not car, like, wreckage CGI.
I love it.
He's all, we only added CGI to enhance the weather and stuff like that, the surroundings. But it looks badass. That to me was the thing that won Comic-Con for me. Like, that was the baddest, coolest thing I saw at Comic-Con. Yeah. Next thing.
Hobbit. Right?
Which
I loved.
You could talk about
it. Oh, Ricardo was like, oh, this is terrible.
Well, Stephen Colbert was a cool surprise.
Freaking
A!
Stephen Colbert awesome. In that costume. So cool. I mean, he's, of course, the Lord of the Rings, like, he's probably the man who knows the most in the entire planet about Lord of the Rings. So it's perfect for him to moderate.
Maybe
it.
Not planet. There's some nerds.
No. Oh, I would.
I think the only person that can challenge him is Tolkien.
No, I know. I think there's a nerd that hasn't left their room.
He has. He's pretty much like I would put anyone against Stephen Colbert, and Stephen Colbert probably would. He beat Philippa, and she's like the known Tolkien expert on the films. Like he's the guy.
But that's
he's the
not
one who
like
knows everything.
Let's not argue about that.
Anyway.
Why not?
Because that's not.
I mean, first of all, he did. Let's just say that he quoted a poem from the Silmarillion, right? By heart.
Yeah.
By heart in the middle of the panel.
But yeah, so he was a really good. He was a really good idea for that to host that.
And he came out in his costume from the Lord of the Rings, from the Hobbit movie that he was in, and he's now. I was sad to say that we were missing the main characters on that panel. We were missing both Martin Freeman and Ian McKellen, because they both had jobs elsewhere. Which was kind of a bummer.
But a lot of the other cast was there.
Yeah, I mean, you had everyone else, Evangeline Lilly, Lee Pace,
Benedict,
Luke Evans,
Cate Blanchett,
Elijah Wood.
Orlando.
Yeah, Elijah Wood. You're hardly in this movie, dude. He's just like, I love to be here.
Oh, Andy Serkis was there.
Of course. And Andy Serkis talked a lot about the motion capture and all that kind of fun stuff. It was a fun panel. We got to see the trailer for the new movie, which is now out there, so you guys can see it as well. The Five Armies, the Battle of the Five Armies, which is the next movie in the series.
Someone asked a very dumb question, which I found very insulting. They said, is there more footage from Lord of the Rings? Is there going to be another extended edition?
We don't need to extend it anymore.
We don't need that.
Yeah, I don't think we need that
either. My complaint about it was, like, I mean, even if you're into The Hobbit or not, they had too much time slotted.
Yeah. Yeah.
It went on too long. Even the fans were starting to get restless by the end.
It was. It did go on for a long time.
How long was it?
Yeah. It was forever.
I think it was about 2 hours. it was, it might have been too long. I love Stephen Colbert. I could listen to him for 2 hours. So I was
happy.
It was
too long.
Ricardo hated it. Ricardo was, Ricardo napped.
I did like the next movie.
They did a blooper reel though. That was
cool. Yeah, the blooper reel was really funny.
I did like, the next panel, the next group of, filmmakers, which was Michael Mann, one of my favorites. He was there promoting a movie called, Black Hat.
I just don't know about that movie.
Michelle, you don't know nothing about, you know nothing about man.
It was okay looking. I didn't, I mean, nothing in that movie.
Oh, the Watch Dogs movie?
Yeah.
It didn't really draw me in. I'm not gonna lie.
It's Chris Helms, it stars Chris Helmsworth.
I know, I love him, but.
It's written and directed by Michael Mann, and, it was originally called Cyber, and it's basically about, like, cyber terrorism and stuff. But
with a bluish tint.
With the bluish tint. But it's funny because the first thing they talked about is all the research that Michael Mann has people do. Like, he has he has people do excessive, like, I remember I read an interview with Mark Ruffalo because he's in Collateral. He's in Collateral for a total of, like, 4 minutes, 5 minutes tops. And he said he was on patrol with the detectives at LAPD for 8 months.
What? For a 5 minute part?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. He's like a bear for detail.
Good lord.
But anyway,
Chris Hemsworth was really good.
Yeah.
He came out and talked.
And
about
they
it.
Showed oh, an yeah. they showed an extended like trailer, which looked pretty cool.
Chris Hemsworth actually told them what they had to do, like in one day, all the research that they had to do, and it was pretty interesting. Right. They went from like one place to a whole different. I don't even remember.
Yeah. But it sounded like a really cool movie.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like it's a little late. I feel like the cyber terrorism movie would have been really impressive 2 or 3 years ago, but now I feel like the internet's kind of gobbled that up already with all the. I mean, everybody's worried about it already.
Yeah.
And so to catch us when we were all kind of like first getting into those worries would have been a great time for that movie.
Well, I'm interested to see his take on it because it didn't seem like they were chasing one guy, you know. Because it's hard to make the movie about one guy, you know? Like, we're chasing one guy. So I'll be interested to see how he does it. But it's definitely a really big universe that they're covering. I think they wanted to make it, like, it's specifically, it's funny. When he talked about making the movie, he said he met with John Toll. And because this one was a Warner Brothers Legendary, this I think,
legendary.
Co-thing. Yeah. And he, I think they wanted to make it specifically in Asia for the Asian market. Because it is now a huge film market, so.
And I mean, I will watch it. I appreciate Michael Mann. I like Chris Hemsworth. I just the trailer honestly didn't draw me in.
Well, you're not a Michael Mann fan.
I'm not a Michael Mann fan. What?
And then we'll see. The next thing they showed was
Was that Guillermo del Toro was next?
No. Well, we missed something. We forgot to talk about Godzilla 2.
Godzilla 2?
Oh, yeah.
That was first.
Well, yeah, so this kind of...
They did it again.
Yeah.
They teased me again, and they got me. I don't care.
They pretty much discussed... So Gareth Edwards is going to direct the next one, and then they discussed the three new the three new villains.
The new monsters.
Monsters.
Which are?
Mothra.
Mothra, Rodan, and King Ghidorah.
Yeah. And they showed a little teaser of it, a little like.
And at the very end, it goes, "Let them fight," which I can only think that has to mean that they heard the fans, and it means that they want more fighting, and they'll put more fighting in. That's the only thing it can mean,
right?
Right?
They've got to,
yeah.
Unless it's a 3-hour-long movie,
yeah, it could be.
I don't know. I think they'll put more.
We could be watching characters watching it on TV.
Yeah.
Oh no! Don't do that again.
Hopefully, I feel like Gareth Edwards is a type of guy that listens to the fans.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know? Maybe he listens to us and puts Channing Tatum in it for the sequel.
Get out of here! Man.
Oh my God! Stop it.
That started the legendary.
That was the beginning.
Section, and then the next thing was.
Was the Guillermo del Toro. Which
I was very excited about Crimson Peak.
Yeah, that one looks great.
Amazing. Look really and I don't like scary movies, guys. I really hate scary movies.
But I feel like Guillermo del Toro is like a different level of scary.
Right. And like, I like Pan's Labyrinth.
It's more thriller than horror.
Mm-hmm.
Pan's Labyrinth was great. And it's funny, driving home to do the podcast tonight, I was listening to him on The Nerdist.
Me too. I just finished it.
And he was talking about how this took 10 years to make. And he was talking about how long projects takes to make and like whether you fall out of love with them and stuff. And he's talked about how some projects take 20 years to make. And, you know, that so Crimson Peak has been 10 years in the making. But it has a great cast.
Well, it stars my man Tom Hiddleston.
It does.
You have a lot of men.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tom Hiddleston is, and he says like the Guillermo del Toro said he's like pretty much the nicest guy
Michelle,
on the planet.
You're supposed to only have five. You have like
and then,
20.
Like
my man.
And then
Tom.
There's like Mia.
Wachowski.
Close enough. Sounds good.
The girl from that.
Jessica Chastain's in this? Or am I thinking, am I going crazy?
It's just that Jessica Chastain has to be in everything.
I don't remember that. Maybe.
Anyway, it's a huge cast. It's a huge cast. Crimson Peak, it's like this Victorian type.
Yeah, it's like gothic horror.
Gothic horror. Looks really cool. And then at the
Charlie
end,
Hunnam is in it.
Charlie Hunnam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he looked very cool in that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Jessica Chastain is in
I
it.
Told
okay.
you.
You're right. Oh, my
gosh. She's Lady Lucille.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at the end of his panel, he did say, by a round of applause, I want to hear how excited you are to see these sequels come to life. Hellboy 3. And it got a lot of applause.
That was a big, big applause.
Hellboy 3. I love Hellboy, the Hellboy series. Second one was...
It was not sequels. It was just movies.
Movies that he came
right.
for second him to make.
Was, the next one was a H.P. Lovecraft.
Oh, At the Mountain of Madness.
Yep. Yes. Yes.
And which she's been working on forever.
Tom Cruise was once attached to that. And then the third one was...
No, that was it.
That was just the two.
And then John Tolkien came out and said, I understand you want all those movies and they'll get made, but... First, we're going to have to make...
Pac Rim 2. And then Pacific we all
Rim.
Look at the what? Time on our watch and we go, there's only 10 minutes left. Rory, what I'm so sorry.
Oh
Rory, I'm so sorry. It's not going to happen.
I was so mad.
We're just going to... Maybe next year. Rory,
like,
I'm sorry.
First, they didn't give me Fantastic Four. Yeah. Now they're not going to give me what I want. It's
and
horrible.
That,
I'm looking at my
just
phone, too.
Talk
listen,
in the mic.
It's hard.
I can't hear you.
So then the next movie, Duncan Jones comes
out. Well,
shouldn't
we let Rory describe
Rory,
this?
Yeah,
describe
this is Rory. Rory, go.
I mean, his pants were getting tighter once they...
Oh, my God. Shell.
Michelle.
So this was like one of the movies that they showed last year for just a teaser last year. And
I like last year's teaser better than this
I did,
one.
Too, actually. Yeah. But like now I kind of got the scope of the movie with this one.
And the tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so... Oh my God, like Warcraft, baby. I mean, it's just if you're a gamer and you haven't played World of Warcraft, you're probably not a real gamer. Because, I mean, it's kind of hard to not go down that rabbit hole. But they finally showed, it looks like a straight up mixture from the game cinematics with live action humans in it. It's like a beautiful blend, and it's not even like what the movie's going to be.
Like, it's still not done.
Yeah, it's not even close to being done, and it already looks. Amazing.
It wouldn't you agree that it looks like a hybrid between like even I feel like they made the human part, they made it match the CGI part. So it like the cinematography of the live action stuff.
Uh-huh.
They gave it like I don't know if it's a filter or the way they shot it, the surroundings where they made the human part kind of match more the CGI than the, rather
than
make
the
CGI.
Way around.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
And it's going to work. It's going to work if they did that
it is
throughout the whole movie.
A lot.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about what you think the plots?
Well, it's definitely it's going to be the origin of the whole Alliance Horde, the core of those, each of the humans versus the orcs is the origin of that story. So it looks like I'm hoping it's going to be when the orcs first enter the world of Azeroth and they basically end up getting stuck there because the portal they came in closes. And so they're in this world that they know nothing of and they have to stay. They have to make... a living, and so I mean they're orcs, they look terrifying and scary, so humans naturally are gonna want to kill them, you know. And so that's the struggle, is this how are they gonna find peace when both sides just want blood?
And are there wizards in this movie?
Yeah, if they follow the story, there was a wizard that opened the portal, he was trying to attain something else, and then the orcs came through while he was casting the spell, and he's like, who are these guys? And so, yeah, there's a lot of magic in the movies, too. They didn't show a lot in the trailer, which I think is good.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I feel like the less you use magic, the more special it is when it comes up in the movie.
And I feel like the makeup on the actors was so good that I couldn't tell who was who. I know who's in the movie, but I couldn't
don't know that either of those were
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster.
Ben Foster I think is going to be the magic guy, the wizard.
Really?
That's his character name that they're listing.
Yeah, he's the wizard.
He's the wizard. The thing about Ben Foster is that he's such a chameleon. You sometimes can't tell it's him until you're like, what the?
And then
he surprises you. Great actor. So you were satisfied?
I'm stoked. Yeah. I mean, I agree that the teaser last year was so much better, but it also was so unexpected. It wasn't even like we were all like wondering if Fantastic Four was going to be shown or Star Wars.
Yeah.
But like last year, we had no idea Warcraft was going to be there.
Yeah.
They've been talking about that movie since that game started making money.
Yeah. And so they showed this time. They actually showed footage with actual actors in it, and it's 2 years away from being released.
Yeah,
so
they started filming in like January this year.
Yeah. So they're just beginning production on it, and so we
and
shall
it
see.
Looks great. Yeah.
So we I'm might excited. See a panel next year.
Yeah,
probably.
It's March 11, 2016 is its release date. So there will be a panel. So
and this along with The Last of Us, I'm kind of hoping they both work, you know? Because, I mean, there's a lot of, kind of like Game of Thrones, like a bunch of us read the books and like our friends weren't ever going to read the books. So we never could talk about them with anybody. And now that there's the show, I have people to talk about it with. And so I'm kind of hoping the same thing happens.
Oh, I'm not going to go see Warcraft.
With like, well, like The Last
just
of Us.
Kidding. I'm just
you could watch The Last of Us and hopefully maybe a Warcraft movie. And then I'll have people to talk about that with too. And then they'll want to know more. And finally, all of this knowledge in my head can be good to be good.
Nerd.
Can be good. Put to good use, you know. Thanks. Thanks, babe.
Virgin. So then,
the very last thing in the panel,
which is funny because we had another friend there, our friend Jack, who was more surprised by Michelle's reaction than anything. So they say John Toll says, "All right, guys, well, we have one more thing. See you guys later."
And
he walks off, and the lights go down, and you see this rough seas.
It looks like you're in a helicopter. Yeah. There's rough seas. You're going into like a forest area.
Jungly.
You see an island that looks like Kauai. Okay, guys, if you saw an island in rough seas that looks like Kauai, what would you think
also,
it was?
Also, this year, Legendary's now partnered up with Universal.
Right.
They've ended the contract with Warner Brothers. So you're like, okay, Universal.
And everyone thought that there was going to be a Jurassic World thing because they had a Jurassic World bus going around giving out posters. Like, why wouldn't there be a Jurassic World thing? It's ridiculous. Anyway, so you see the stupid island, and then you're going on to the island, and it's like, okay, oh my god. And I got really excited because I thought this was going to be Jurassic World. Like, that's really exciting. And then there were lots of monkeys, and I was like, why are there lots of monkeys in Jurassic World? Oh well, guess the monkeys came. And then I'm just waiting for the fucking dinosaur to show up, and then it doesn't. It's fucking King Kong, and it's Skull Island. And I was like, dumb.
It was seriously applause, energy, like a little.
The entire room was with me.
I was clapping.
It wasn't just me. It wasn't like, don't act like it was just me, Ricardo.
No. It wasn't just you, but you were in our area. You were the apex of our little crowd. Yeah.
And it was like, everyone's like, oh my God, it's going to happen. It's Jurassic World. And then it was like fucking King Kong. And the entire, like, you just heard, like, the entire room deflate.
You love
like
it
a couple.
God.
Everybody lost their erection.
It was like, seriously, the wind got knocked out of you, and like the guys weren't on stage anymore. It's like they heard the reaction and ran.
Yeah. So the movie's going to be called Skull Island.
Which is fine. I mean, that's good too.
But wait, this is good for Godzilla 3, because there could be a Godzilla versus King Kong.
Right, there could be a Godzilla v. King Kong. Okay. Great, whatever, who cares?
That would be lame. Godzilla would just rip them apart. Are you serious?
That's true.
You don't know that.
He's about to fight three monsters in one movie. How's he going to go fight King Kong?
He's like, steps on him. And just steps on him. Get out of my way.
Neil Marshall is directing it.
Really?
But why wasn't there a Jurassic World thing? Because they had even the posters that were the hot item that I could never get.
I don't know. We don't work for Jurassic World.
I don't know, because I thought Adam said that.
I'm blaming.
They've been cutting things, though, recently. We don't know anything else, but they've been cutting things, so you'd think that they would have something.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, they have footage. And they have posters that they were giving out, which, by the way, I tried to go once and I got the text message about the posters. It was like a block away from where I was. Run over there. There was already 200 people in line for 75 posters. I was like, are these people just following the bus around? I assume they are. I'm sure they are.
After the Legendary Pictures panel, the Box Trolls was next. So I would say
I like the Box Trolls.
The next three panels, the energy, because we had a lot of people who had slept out. Not a lot of people. Everybody had slept out
this.
Everybody who was in the room had slept out. So we had a lot of tired people that sat through the Box Trolls, which was fun. It's Elle Fanning, the guy who plays Bran on Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Isaac Hempstead Wright.
Yeah.
And Ben Kingsley was there.
And Tracy Morgan's in it, but he wasn't there, obviously. Yeah.
The Laika president, who's the guy that does all the stop motion stuff. Travis Knight was there. Yeah. He's awesome.
It was fun. It looked really great.
I always love their movies. I love the work that they do. It's amazing to watch. I like their panels because they show how they do it. They always show a little how-to video, and it's cool panel. But I think that the energy had died so much after that stupid Skull Island reveal that everyone was just like, ugh.
Yeah.
And we were all tired, and there was like, it was a cool panel, but I think that it would have been better first thing in the morning.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
There are a lot of really good guest cameos, though, on it.
Oh, yeah. And it looks like a great movie. It looks super fun.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost are two of them that are going to be on it. And who else was on there?
Basically, the movie is a kid who's raised by box trolls and then who live like in the sewers. And then he doesn't know he's a human, basically.
Yeah.
But it looks fun. It looks funny. And Elle Fanning and Brant, you know, their voices are pretty fun. So it should be. And they're good actors. So.
Yeah. I'm
stop motion. It's going to look really nice. Yeah.
And, I think it's going to be really
good. And the next one was Frank Miller's Sin City, which was, I mean, it's more of the same thing. We know what Sin City is. You don't need a panel. We could have done without it.
Although it is always fun to see a very angry Frank Miller yell and yell and yell about the Hollywood industry, because that's hilarious, because that's all he's a
problem is the guy's dying, so he wasn't doing much yelling.
He wasn't yelling. He was just really angry.
He looked really bad. He looked skinny.
He did not look good.
Yeah. He didn't look like, only like a year ago, I saw him in an interview talking about how they were already filming Sin City, and he looked great. I think there's something really bad with him. Like, I think, I don't want to say he has cancer, but he, something really bad. Like, he looked really sick.
But whatever it is, it didn't tone down his anger.
No.
He still is a very angry man.
Yeah. But they showed a little bit more footage from it.
Some of the cast was there.
It looks like Sin City.
Yeah.
Sin City.
I'll see it.
Jessica Alba apparently did some kind of like method thing, so everyone thought she was angry the whole time they filmed it. I mean, that's all we learned. Yeah. We didn't learn much.
It was boobies. And then next thing was the EW's Entertainment Weekly's
Women Who Kick Ass.
Which this one was a lot better than last year.
This one was actually entertaining.
The girls were Maisie Williams and Natalie Dormer, both from Game of Thrones, Tatiana Maslany from Orphan Black, Katie Seagal from Sons of Anarchy, Sarah Paulson, American Horror Story, and Nicole Beharie, who's from Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
So it literally was six women who kick ass in their TV shows. And I liked that it was all TV, actually.
Yeah. It was interesting that they were all TV.
And
Natalie Dormer brought that up a lot, that she feels that the women's roles on TV are much better than they are in movies these days.
They kind of are. Yeah.
I agree with her. In movies, it seems like you only get tropes, whereas in TV shows, they actually delve into more character studies. Mm-hmm. I can't think of a really good movie lately with a good female lead.
Magic Mike.
Okay, shut up. But Orphan Black, that's an amazing movie, and Tatiana is an amazing actress, plays seven different characters in that show. She's amazing. Sarah Paulson in American Horror Story. And that is a great a show with a lot of female leads.
Which is really good. I thought it was actually really entertaining. It was I didn't want to fall asleep. I thought that was going to be the panel I fell asleep during to get a little nap in, but it was entertaining. One of the funny things was Natalie Dormer and Maisie Williams had taken a Game of Thrones character test, or Maisie hadn't taken it yet, but Natalie did, and Natalie's Game of Thrones character test came out as Arya, so she is supposed to be Arya. And then they all went through and named the superhero that they would want to be, and Maisie Williams said Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And I developed a huge crush on Tatiana because she's very eloquent. And then she said Raphael.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. She did. I know. she's precious. I think she's an amazingly talented actress. I can't I can't emphasize enough to the public out there. If you have not watched Orphan Black, you need to be watching the show. It is an amazing show. It's well written. It tears down a lot of stereotypes, and it deals with gender issues and sexuality issues and all that kind of great stuff that in a very, very good way. I really do love that show, and she's amazing. The whole cast is amazing. The writing's great. If you liked X-Files, if you were into Fringe, it's in the same vein. I cannot emphasize enough that you should be watching Orphan Black if you're not.
So by this time, everybody's energy is really low. Even though this was a great panel, it's still the energy. It wasn't like they showed any footage or anything. So Energy's at an all-time low at this point.
I mean, at this point, we haven't gotten anything worth the time we had put in the night before, you know? Besides, like, Mad Max was great.
Yeah. And that was in the morning. And
that was in the morning. So, like, that was... I mean, but done. That was it. Yeah. Like, everything else was okay.
So we should talk about what happened when the gentleman came to sit in our section.
So
oh,
my God. So this guy, this young man, maybe 21.
We had one empty seat in our section.
Yeah, we had an open seat in our section.
And so he comes and sits next to us. And and the thing is...
Rory's still really, really upset about this.
He was a good hype man. But he also tore his down.
He went too far.
Yeah. We call him one of the others. He showed up and he said, guys, he quickly friended us. And he said, guys, I heard from a security guard that we should stay after the Marvel panel because they're going to show Star Wars stuff. And so Jenny quickly looks at the schedule and says, well, there's an hour and a half between the end of Marvel to the beginning of Gotham. They were going to show the Gotham pilot. And there's an hour and a half, so it makes sense, because really they only need about a half hour to clear the room.
Oh, my God.
And we have a whole hour, so it made sense. And then Jenny looked at the Twitter, mm-hmm. and it was trending.
It
right?
was, yeah, it was a thing. People were saying it.
So
someone started this mean rumor and spread it all over
now,
the place.
Now that I think about it, what if this guy was sitting all over the seats?
And
all throughout
the
day, like some rumor Johnny Appleseed.
He's the one.
Just delivering seeds of this rumor all over the place. God, yeah. But I did like him because he sat in our section and he was getting hyped about Marvel too.
Marvel was running late. Like, okay, so it was like 5 minutes till Marvel starts. So we're all like, yeah, okay, let's start cheering them on and like getting them out. And so we start.
We started
cheering for Chris Hardwick to come out.
And then it caught on to the whole room. Caught on.
But then we kept doing it.
It was trending.
But I know.
Oh,
they kept doing it.
They kept dimming the lights too, and usually that means they're going to start. So we were like, oh hell yeah! And then they put the lights back on.
And you're fuck you guys.
Well, the I think the light guy is if you see to the right by the women's bathrooms, they hang out there.
Yeah.
The AV guys. So I'm sure they were like, yeah, let's fuck with them, dude.
This is hilarious.
Yeah.
And then
we started.
Marvel ended up running 20 minutes late. So we ended up cheering for them for like 25 minutes.
So we started
doing chanting.
We started the baseball one. We want Marvel. which is funny because no one will believe us now that our section started that.
Whatever.
Hey,
whether they believe us or not,
we started
really
it, guys.
Okay.
At the film.
Okay.
Hashtag.
Well, let's
film
be
podcast.
Honest. That kid started it.
He did. He was a good hype man, though.
He was really good hyping. So we were all like, oh my God. Oh my God. It's going to happen. Star Wars is going to happen after
Marvel.
Like,
I'm not going to lie. I was already tearing up. Like, what are the possibilities? Just even the logo. Logo, episode 7, ding. Subtitle.
That's it.
I'm gonna lose my shit. That's all they have to show, and I'm gonna lose my shit.
I'm gonna cry. Like, in the middle of college, I'm gonna cry.
They could have just gone, hey, we don't have, we literally have no footage. We're just gonna introduce you to the cast. And that's all it would have been really cool.
They wouldn't have even had to do that.
Yeah, no, all they had to go is episode 7 coming, and then whatever they're gonna call it. Yeah. Like,
oh God, if they'd actually given us the title.
Yeah.
Right, or whatever.
Great White Hope.
Whatever, it's so. Anyway,
a new hope for.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the Marvel panel starts.
Yeah.
And we start with, of all things, they start with Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit controversial at Comic-Con.
Usually, every year they do Q&As with the audience. No Q&As this year.
No Q&As.
Coincidence? No.
Well, and it was very interesting when they introduced the director of Ant-Man. What's his name? Peyton Reed.
Yeah.
Very lukewarm response from Hall H. Very not. And the first thing Chris Hardwick did in the panel was try to give Peyton Reed's credentials to the audience as to why he's okay to, like, he was like, he's been a fan of Ant-Man for this long. And he's done. I mean, it was like he listed off the reasons why we shouldn't hate him for taking over for Edgar Wright. Was like seriously the first thing of that panel is I felt like they were like, okay, we see you're upset. let me tell you why. It's okay. He's not Edgar Wright. But the audience is still like, well, we still want Edgar Wright. All right, guys. I mean, there was a guy protesting outside of Comic-Con with an Edgar Wright was right poster and a manifesto as to why Marvel's wrong about this.
I'm reserving my judgment until it comes out.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, they have a great track record.
And they have a good cast. I mean,
there's
got to
be a reason for it.
Yeah, Paul Rudd's in it, so yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
And
you
here's
can't
the thing.
Direct Paul
here's
Rudd.
The thing
He's
is,
amazing.
Here's the thing is that Paul Rudd, just like everybody else, some people did it, signed up for the movie because it was, what's his name?
Right? Edgar Wright.
Edgar Wright. Those people left. Patrick Wilson, he exited the film because he had signed up because it was him. But you have people like Paul Rudd
who just wants to be a superhero.
Well, no. He had the option in his contract to bow out once Peyton Reed came in, but he decided to stay. So he's staying for a reason, maybe because he wants to be a superhero, but maybe because, you know, it's still going to be in good hands.
But there was a couple reveals in this panel. The big reveal was the Evangeline being Hope. Hope him.
Yeah. And also, my favorite line out of the funniest thing I heard there was definitely Michael Douglas.
Oh my God! So this Michael Douglas is playing what's his character's name? Do we know?
Hank.
Yeah. That's right. And he this is his first Comic-Con.
And Chris Hardwick said, "Well, you know, we're popping your cherry," and he said, "It's fine because I've popped many in my day,"
which and was not disturbing at all. Why?
This is funny. That's why he got the throat thing, you know? So that was okay. They showed a little bit of footage at the end.
They did show some footage.
Which was test footage.
It wasn't movie footage.
Yeah.
They said they're going to start filming in like 2 weeks, yeah. So they didn't have any footage to show.
It was actually cool effects test, though. It was him miniaturizing himself and then jumping on a... What are those ants called? A fly. What are they called? Not flies.
Bees?
They're specific ants.
Flying ants.
Yeah. Sure.
And he gets on one of those and he flies into the vents. And mm-hmm. It looked pretty cool. Short and sweet. And then they're out.
I did love me some Paul Rudd.
Yeah. Mm. And then all of a sudden the lights dim and Michael Jackson's Don't Stop Till You Get Enough starts playing.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone starts looking. We were there 2 years ago. Where Robert Downey Jr. came out walking with Iron Man in hand from the back of Hall H. So we expected him in the back.
I know y'all kept turning around.
Well, where is he?
Everyone
looked
with us. Yeah.
He wouldn't have done it again. So, he's already done that.
So we see him. He comes out from the front and he to the song. And he's throwing out red roses out of a suitcase mm-hmm. into the crowd. And he saves four roses. Four white roses. And Chris Hardwick starts introducing people, right? Who does he introduce?
He introduces the entire Avengers. It's all the Avengers.
Everyone was there except for Scarlett Johansson yeah. there.
Because she's yes. very Prager's. Yeah. But at one point, Robert Downey Jr. got frustrated with Chris Hardwick's and just took the microphone away from him and started introducing him himself, which is amazing because Chris Hardwick is pretty energetic. But Robert Downey Jr. was like, no, you're not energetic enough. Give me the microphone.
So they all come out. They banter for a little bit. Chris Hardwick asks some questions. Nothing.
They did bring out. So they brought out the whole Avengers cast. Can we tell them the ones that they brought out at the end? Too?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
So
yeah.
They bring out the two new Avengers. I guess they are Avengers, right?
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Sorry. So they're in there, and then they brought out Paul Bettany, who is
Vision.
Mm-hmm. And then they brought out what's his face?
James Spader.
James Spader, who is
Ultron.
And that's it.
Right. Well, eventually, after they talked for a while.
Well, and then do you want to tell them about the roses or not? You brought up the roses.
Yeah,
well, the roses got given to each of the girls in the cast. So the ladies, he gave each
the two
of them.
Girls.
The two girls. He gave them each a rose.
I think there's only three roses.
Right. Maybe there's more. I don't know.
There's only three.
But he gave them to the girls. And then Robert Downey Jr. says... We have Thanos, at which point Josh Brolin came out with the gauntlet on, and he is given a rose by Robert Downey Jr., which he then promptly eats, as you do. Now, I'm confused, because I know this is Ultron. Where is Thanos? Thanos is in which movie is Thanos in?
He's at the end of Avengers, right?
Yeah, he's at the end of Avengers.
Right, but is he going to be in Age of Ultron, or is he in another movie?
I believe he's going to be the main villain in
three. Yeah.
Three.
He's going to be like maybe a puppet master role, or maybe just acquiring power. Because like the
in Avengers 3.
Yeah. Oh no! Okay. In Avengers 2, maybe he's behind the scenes.
It might be like the same thing as Avengers. It'll be behind the scenes.
I was trying to figure out what movie he was going to be the main villain.
It's going
to
be three. Three is going to be the main.
He's going to be the badass.
Well, I mean, the gauntlet. Okay, so we should talk a little bit about what we did learn from the footage that they did show of Age of Ultron, because they did show a little bit of footage. And it was amazing. It starts off very like jovial. All the Avengers are just hanging out.
Drinking a beer.
Trying to lift up
Thor's hammer.
It's like a drinking game.
Yeah, like who
pick up my hammer.
Who can lift Thor's hammer?
Who's worthy?
There was a, you know, he's joking
around. Captain America almost does lift it.
Yeah, it actually moves like a tenth of an inch. And like there's a great moment where you see fear go through Thor's eyes, but then he can't lift it. It's like, all right, okay, cool. And then the party gets interrupted by Ultron. Chaos ensues, at which point I believe the most spectacular moment of this trailer, the most upsetting or the most dramatic, was you get a close-up of what we mentioned earlier on the floor.
Well, before that, though, you see the Iron Man, the Iron Hulk.
Hulkbuster.
Hulkbuster.
So
that's right.
A big thing.
What's cool is they showed the end of it, him getting in. So basically, he's in the Iron Man suit, and he gets in the Hulkbuster suit.
Right.
So it's like a suit within a suit, which is really cool. And it's really huge, and it's like bulky shoulders, and it's the size of Hulk.
Right.
And
like they're fighting.
You see them fighting, yeah.
Yeah. Him and Hulk.
And clearly, if anybody who's read the comic books, clearly, it's because both that and the Captain America thing are because of Scarlet Witch.
Right.
It's both Scarlet Witch and
Deuce. Well, we haven't talked about Captain America. And then at the very end,
we see Captain America's shield in four pieces. And then you see Tony Stark walking through basically the field of dead Avengers, which is pretty shocking.
And that's like the end.
That's the end. And then they did have, like I said, the Captain America's broken shield on the floor after that in the next day. There's a lot of is that, I mean, because very few things can break Captain America's shield. There's an idea that maybe it was Thanos, that's when the gauntlet's going to be introduced, because the gauntlet can break.
Yeah.
So that might be what it is.
Scarlet Witch.
Yeah, a lot of people believe that it's a Scarlet Witch hallucination.
Then there's the idea that is this a dream sequence of some kind?
Probably.
I'm not going to lie. If they end Avengers 2 on a defeat, I would just be amazed and love the movie more than anything.
I wouldn't put it past Joss.
Empire Strikes Back. It would be an Empire Strikes Back.
And to be honest, he did say that one Avengers is going to die. He said this, no one remembers this, but he said this early on when he signed up to do Avengers 2.
There's two people who have mentioned that they want out.
Yeah, and one of them
is Hawkeye. Please?
Is Hawkeye. Yes,
Hawkeye and Chris Evans.
Yeah,
he said he wants out. They want
out of the...
Jeremy Renner and Chris Evans have both said that they are done doing superhero movies.
Well, he has one more in his contract to do one more Captain America, but he'd rather not do another Avengers because he wants to direct now.
Right. So Chris Evans...
Into this that you're going to have to be in a lot of fucking movies
Captain
to get over
America
yourself.
Is easy to replace. Sorry. They actually put other people as Captain America.
So actually this works out perfectly.
It makes more sense for it to be Captain America. Because
Bucky...
Yeah, exactly. It's a storyline where Bucky ends up...
They're already setting it up with the Winter Soldier.
And Falcon, too.
And Falcon and Winter Soldier, they're setting it up both ways. So it could go.
Which would be really cool.
Although Jeremy Renner...
Chris Evans could be Human Torch again.
Okay,
I don't think he wants to be in any movies.
Shut your face.
He just said he didn't want to do any more superhero movies.
I know.
That would be a superhero movie.
I did see an interview with Jeremy Renner talking about Age of Ultron and what he did mention. They were like, so they asked him about how he feels Hawkeye's doing this movie. He said, well, I actually have lines, so that's good. So maybe Jeremy Renner's happier now that he feels like he has a bigger part to play in Age of Ultron.
I'm sorry, he shoots arrows, man. Just get out of there.
Yeah.
I do want a freaking Hawkeye necklace, like who's he, what's it wears.
So that was the end of Saturday.
Nope.
Wasn't?
You're really good at this.
Okay, so then this is okay. We set it up. So this is what happens at the end. They go, we have one more thing.
And we're all like, here's the Star Wars.
Oh my gosh, I'm like
Star Wars.
I am ready to start crying.
Oh, and then they go, it's coming in on a feed from London.
It's a couple guys from London, and I'm like, happening. It's happening, guys. I'm like grabbing Jack. I'm like squeezing his arm. I'm like hitting whoever's next to me. Going, it's happening. It's happening. Oh my god. And then it says Marvel, and I'm like, what? And then it's Chris Pratt. And it was just like major. You could just feel the room go from like a 10 to a 2. And it was like, oh. And at the end, I mean, the announcement was Guardians of the Galaxy 2. Great. Who cares? I haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy 1. God. I can't care about Guardians of the Galaxy 2 until I've seen Guardians of the Galaxy 1, people. Sorry. I'm mad.
Not Star Wars.
Star Wars, and it made me pissed.
Michelle, you're peeking.
Well, I'm mad about it.
So that ended our Saturday.
Pull off their headphones.
So that was the end of Saturday, and it was fun. It was fun, but no Star Wars. So.
No Star Wars and no Jurassic World.
Apparently, there was a panel where they showed the animated Star Wars.
Yeah, there was.
Star Wars Rebels.
There was a Star Wars Rebels panel. Okay, look. Like, I'm not mad at you, Hall H. I'm just disappointed.
Yeah.
But maybe this will help alleviate some of the line.
I think we just got spoiled last year, let's be honest.
Yeah. That's true.
I'll be interested to see if Star Wars does make an appearance next year in 2015, since it is going to be coming out.
Jack was very impressed by Hall H.
Yeah,
and
Jack
this is his first.
It.
Oh, bless
his
him.
His first time.
Bless
he was very
him.
Impressed.
We were all like, nah, not the best Marvel panel. Meh. We're so spoiled. We're like,
what,
meh.
Doesn't Disney do a...
Well, Disney has D23, but
yeah. So
D20...
what if they do Star Wars there?
Okay, here's the thing. D23 only happens every other year. There's no D23 this year.
So
there is a D23 August 2015.
We should wrap this up.
It could be then.
And this isn't D23 podcast. So, we'll wrap it up.
Whoa.
Anything else you want to tell us about Sunday? What things you saw?
Okay,
on Sunday?
So then I immediately went outside and panicked because the line was already forming for Supernatural, which is the only thing I wanted to see on Sunday because there was no freaking Doctor Who this year. Thank you, Moffat. You can, I'm so mad at him. Don't even get me started.
Blame the fans.
I know.
Last year, blame the fans.
Well, last year what happened with Doctor Who is that someone posted the footage, and he specifically said, if anyone posts this footage, I will never come back to Comic-Con.
And they did.
And, well, they did post it, and he's not back. Now, he didn't say that's why he wasn't back. That's, he said it because of filming, but I'm like, no, you could have scheduled your filming around Comic-Con. You suck. And basically,
fans suck.
You suck. So, you know, suck
Moffitt's
it.
Moffitt's just being a good principal.
Like, he's just sticking to his guns on that one. And I don't think he loves Comic-Con anyway. So I went to the Supernatural panel. I slept out again. I got really close. The most exciting thing that happened was Misha Collins, who plays Castiel on Supernatural, he's an angel, came. And he is an angel in real life, too, because in the morning, he came to the line and he gave everyone coffee. And I'm not just saying, like, he came up with a group of people to give coffee and he handed a couple cups to people and then went away. Misha Collins walked the line for, it must have been over a half hour, handing anyone who wanted coffee. Like, he would come up, he went up the aisles we were in. I was like, that's dangerous because these fans are crazy. And he was walking right up the aisles. I know, I didn't touch him. I wasn't horrible. And freaking gave all of us coffee and just the nicest guy. I mean, the cast is Supernatural. The reason I love going to the Supernatural panels and the reason I started watching Supernatural was because of the panel. Because these guys love their fans. They really do. They love talking to the fans. The Q&As for Supernatural is one of my favorite things ever because the Supernatural cast likes to talk back and forth with the fans and they talk to them. It's not just answering the questions. And then the coolest thing on the panel that happened was a fan favorite, Osric Chow, who plays Kevin Tran, who did die this season, which we all know on Supernatural it doesn't mean that you're never coming back because actually usually when you die, you probably are going to come back on Supernatural. He did die and the actor who played him came in costume and he went up to the Q&A in full costume and did a reveal and it was him. The whole auditorium, because he is a super fan favorite, exploded. We were so excited to see Osric Chow there. Oz is a great, nice guy. I've met him. Super nice guy. And he goes up there and he says, Jared, Misha, Jensen, Mark, you're all beautiful. But this question is for Jeremy. Jeremy being the Jeremy Carver being the showrunner of Supernatural. And he just says, when's Kevin coming back? And Jeremy answers with a now, never. But I think that there's definitely a possibility. He's such a fan favorite. I can't imagine them killing him off for good. And it was super fun and everybody just loved it. And that's the thing I love about Supernatural's cast is they just love their fans and they love talking to people and they have such a good time with it. And they love doing the show. They love coming to Comic-Con. They really eat it up. And it just makes you want to be a part of the fandom. For them, which is why I actually became part of the fandom, was because I've seen their panel a number of times because it was always right before Doctor Who. And then finally I was like, you know what? I've seen this panel so much, I need to watch the show. And then I got totally hooked and I'm total super Who-lockian now. So that was my Sunday. After that, I met up with you guys. We just walked the floor for a little bit. That's when I hit up Artist Alley. Mm-hmm. You guys hit up the floor a little bit more. And I think that was a kind of a wrap on Comic-Con for us.
Yep.
Comic-Con 2014 in the books.
That was it. And there'll be some pictures, some videos on this episode's post on our website at thefilmpodcast.com. You can find the podcast at thefilmpodcast on Twitter. I think maybe next year we'll do an Instagram for the podcast.
Well, I was also thinking maybe we could even do, I don't know, throw out there in the public domain now. We could do clips. We could videotape ourselves while we're in line and being miserable and ugly.
Send us some ideas. Yeah. Of what you guys want, what you guys see on other places that you like and you think would be cool if we did it.
Yeah. Or if we did different. You know?
I could do a scrapbook if you guys like, possibly some decoupage. I'm really into that. I can knit something.
You could find me on Twitter at Ricardo, ultreres.
I'm at Jenei, jehneigh.
I'm at Michelle Coyle, michellecoyle.
I'm at Groat Hardstroke, groat Hardstroke.
Up to no good.
I got rid of Twitter.
You got rid of Twitter?
That's so sad.
Yeah. That's why he couldn't do the pizza.
Yep.
No pizza for you, dude.
But I still got a poster because I was just hanging out.
# no friends at Comic-Con.
You could have got a pizza, I think. Probably. When me and Jack did.
What we're talking about is they had free Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle pizza.
Pizza. Sponsored by Pizza Hut.
Thank you, Pizza Hut.
All right. And thank you to Subway and Pizza Hut for free food.
Oh, my God. Subway, I love you.
South Paw Social for the free food for the Orphan Black.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Jameson's
yummy.
Whiskey, Irish Whiskey. For all the good times.
Thank you, Kevin, for dipping out of Hall H to get a spot
in
line.
Big, huge shout out to Kevin.
Thanks to Kevin not losing his shit and yelling at anybody. He's the only one out of the group that didn't yell at anybody or get loopy. And if he did get loopy, he hated it pretty well. All the rest of us did get
Thank
loopy.
Thank you, Hall H hype dude.
Yeah.
For making us miserable. Yeah. And we didn't even know how much we wanted Star Wars until you did that.
Shove it up your butt.
Yeah.
To the same dude.
and until next time. Have a good week.